We are watching the call of the rare purple-haired booby as it calls out for a clue in the distance. The strange bird supervenes upon its territory, oblivious to the protector it disturbs with great commotion and abandonment.
This needs to stop. I'm a disabled veteran, nothing veteran. I've never been deployed or anything like that. But, you know, my values for joining the military and joining the army, like, this hurts to see. This hurts on such a crazy level to watch these wannabes do this. You know, they don't know what they're doing at all.
Unseen by the booby, yet perilously close, lies the object of its fervent search. A single, tantalizing clue. Perhaps a glint of something metallic, half buried among the leaf litter, far across the clearing. And now, it calls. The bird throws back its head, the long, slender neck arching in a gesture, both graceful and absurd, reverberating off ancient tree trunks, carrying for hundreds of meters in search of an answer that does not come. Oblivious to all else, the booby leans forward, wings half unfurled in excitement, its vibrant crest of purple filaments quivering with each powerful expulsion of breath.
We have to show up with guns. We have to. There's no other way around it.
Their protector bird, whether they know it or not, is known as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE. Created March 2003 as a direct response to the horrors of 9/11, forged in the fires of the Homeland Security Act that smashed 22 agencies into the new Department of Homeland Security. But its roots stretch back over two centuries to Alexander Hamilton's vision of collecting tariffs and guarding America's economic sovereignty in 1789, evolving through periods of immigration waves, border chaos, and criminal exploitation. Human trafficking rings, child exploitation networks, drug cartels, hundreds of thousands of criminal aliens, gang members like MS-13 and Tren de Aragua, and terrorist financing schemes, keeping our communities safer, our borders stronger, and our nation from being overrun by those who would exploit our laws and endanger American citizens.
ICE is here! ICE is here!
It stamps one webbed foot, then the other, sending tiny cascades of dew from the leaves below. Yet, in its exuberance, the bird has failed to notice the disturbance it creates.
We're asking people not to go to work, not to go to school, not spend a single penny. It is really important for us to have you all stand in solidarity with us. Our communities haven't been able to actually go to school.
To me, being Somali isn't just eating bananas with rice.
Well, what we're witnessing, and this is why the larger picture is important here, we're right on the edge cliff in terms of the possibility of America sustaining itself as a social experiment in the best sense of just becoming an empire full of might and force.
This is a cancer. White evangelical Christianity is a cancer. These are the worst of our country.
Shame on every Republican in the Senate who put this wildly unqualified person into a position of significance in the Department of Homeland Security so she could unleash brutalization on everyday Americans, American citizens, and law-abiding immigrant families. It's disgraceful. She's got to go. We are dead serious. She needs to be put on ICE permanently.
Yes, dismantle ICE, but also the Border Patrol, also the agency that looks over citizenship and asylum. All of it needs to be dismantled and rebuilt so people are not terrorized by their own governmental agency.
This isn't just about what's going on here right now. This is about this not going any further. It's not going to any other states. This is about this stopping. And people don't understand. You know, this needs to stop.
Secure borders and aggressive enforcement aren't just policy. They are crucial.
Introducing Ultra DNA Revival, the advanced daily supplement designed to help you feel and perform at your absolute best, starting at the cellular level. Backed by cutting-edge mitochondrial and DNA support science, Ultra DNA Revival delivers noticeable all-day energy without stimulants or crashes, faster recovery and greater endurance, sharper focus and mental clarity, support for healthy blood sugar levels, stronger immune system function, enhanced liver health and natural detoxification, reduces everyday stress and anxiety, protection against oxidative stress, and the visible signs of aging. And again, this is a private label of an already best-selling brand that found this. Thousands of customers report feeling the difference in as little as 7 to 14 days. Right now, take advantage of our best pricing ever. VFM members, $34.95. Regular, $59.59. Save over 40% with a VFM membership for $30 a month. Experience the revival your body has been waiting for. Secure your DNA revival today at TheAlexShowStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Good morning and welcome to The American Journal. I'm Brianna, your host for today in studio. It's been a while. What's going on, world? Thank you so much to Matt Tardio and Rob Dew for filling in. And also Harrison Smith. It's been kind of a crazy, you know, last week, but we're catching up with you all, so we're excited that you're all jumping on board with us. But yeah, it was a crazy one. A lot happening over the weekend that we're going to buckle down for you in case you missed it, obviously. The DOJ did do more of a Epstein file dump, and I hate when they do this on Fridays. It's intentional, though, of course. They don't want you paying attention to it. But they do these document dumps intentionally very late in the week because they're hoping that it doesn't make it into the news cycle. There's been a lot of deflections going on in regards to the Epstein files, a lot of fake things floating on the internet as well to discredit some of the real. I'll get into that during today's show. I'll also be joined by Mark Mitchell as well. He's got a lot to sound off on because although President Trump's approval numbers are pretty good right now, there's a lot to be concerned about, and Mark Mitchell is on it from Rasmussen Reports, and he'll bring us the very latest. Plus, you guys might know his name, Don Lemon. He is a political commentator, not a journalist, but a political commentator. Well, Don Lemon is trying to confuse the American people by pretending to be a journalist now that he's been arrested for, trying to shut down a worship service for those inside of a church on a Sunday morning. And for some reason now, Don Lemon is out here. And so is his allies in the corporate media trying to say, oh, he's just a journalist. This is the Trump administration going after journalists. No, Don Lemon's not a journalist. Actually, if you wanted to like do a deep dive into it, what would be his most relevant breaking news story that he's ever broke? He's got none. We'll dive into that in a little bit. Also, Nicki Minaj last night, was she dropping nukes on X? She's apparently got a lot that she wants to talk about. We're excited about it. But yesterday her tweets were straight fire. I mean, everything Alex has been telling you about is true. We know it. We've got another celebrity coming out and saying, yeah, they're sacrificing babies. These sick, demonic humans. This is what they're doing. Nicki Minaj calling it out. She's going to be airing it out more and more. And we're here for it. Obviously, she's going after Jay-Z with a conglomerate of accusations. We'll talk about that because, isn't it interesting? All of these people who were so quick to go after President Trump, to endorse Democrats all these years, they all find themselves intertwined in Epstein accusations. Ain't that something? Plus, President Trump is also speaking out about Cuba. He's got a new take on Cuba these days. It's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. Apparently we are influencing, or our influence is making its way over to Cuba now. Not sure how you feel about that. I, for one, I'm tired of all the foreign nonsense. Let's focus here on the homeland. But I'll break that down for you in a little bit. All right. So it's been a very, very crazy couple of days, and we're trying to dissect and go through everything. But I wanted to make sure that we didn't pass up on the opportunity to, well, go after Don Lemon again. Because Don Lemon is a pile of garbage, and everyone knows that he's a pile of garbage. They pretend like he has some type of credible background, but he hasn't done anything credible, I don't know, his whole career for me. Don Lemon is a political commentator and nothing more. And there are people out there who will tell you that Don Lemon is a journalist. Now, those people won't tell you specifically what stories he's broken over these last few years. They actually don't have anything for you. They've got nothing. But they're trying to pretend like this is a First Amendment fight. And it's not a First Amendment fight. For Don, at least. Don Lemon decided to walk into a church and stop the services. He didn't call it a protest. We've got the proof. But first, I want to play this clip, clip one of Don Lemon reacting to his arrest because he's pretending like everything's A-OK when you all know he's having a mental breakdown about it. Take a listen.
I have so many thoughts, and what this did was really open my eyes to a lot. So if you think that I was outspoken before this, just wait. Just wait. So I know that there are people who think like, oh, you know, do this and, you know, that I'm going to be locked up or whatever. I ain't worried about that. You heard the truth and the truth shall make you free. I ain't even worried about that. Like not. Don't even think about it. So whatever, you know, whatever happens, I am, I always think that something good is always going to happen. And something usually good always happens if you have that mindset. Thank you very much.
So he's trying to be optimistic. The reality of it is, though, is Don Lemon did commit a crime. He committed several crimes that day, and now he's being held accountable for it. And they don't like it. They don't like it. And you could tell, based on everyone who they spoke to, that they wanted them out of there. But they did their very best to intimidate people from attending church services, Don Lemon, front and center, and all of this. He didn't call it a protest, people. He called it an operation. Before it even started, he was outside reporting with the group of people who were going in. And guess what? He didn't say protest. They're continuously trying to now declare this as a First Amendment right for those who did enter that church that day. But the reality of it is it's private property. You don't have a right in hell to get in there and to do what you just did. Don Lemon being as obnoxious as he is, people look at this guy's trying to get away from Don Lemon and he won't let him get away. These people are trolls. And then he had the guts to go out there and call them all white supremacists. Why? Because they don't believe in the garbage that he's preaching. But again, Don Lemon didn't call this a protest. On several occasions, he referred to it as an operation. We've got proof of just that in clip two. Take a listen.
I've been surprised, pleasantly surprised to see the community coming together. Diverse community. If you see this, when we first pulled up, we're like, wait a minute, which operation are we at? And as it turns out, because we're like, well, this is kind of MAGA coded, right? Saw the American flag or whatever, but these are resistance protesters. They're planning an operation that we're going to follow them on. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but it's called Operation Pull Up. And it's Sakima Armstrong, and she has been doing this since George Floyd, Dante Wright, and others, where they surprise people, catch them off guard, and hold them to account.
Surprise people, catch them off guard, hold them to account. By the way, do you like how he just insinuated because he saw an American flag that he thought this was a Trump, pro-Trump operation? Yes, because even the left knows that there are a bunch of treasonous pigs. Again, he's referring to it as an operation, not a protest. So now that it's convenient for you to declare it a protest because you want to pretend like this was somehow, some way constitutional on your own behalf, you're going to pretend like it was a protest. It was not. It was an operation. You were trying to intimidate those inside of the church, the pastor and others, And you thought you were going to get away with it. In fact, Don Lemon even acknowledging the fact that a child was so distraught because of their protest. But then also echoing the fact that this is what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to make people feel uncomfortable. That's not what protesting is about. That's not what protesting is about. The same key players, all the BLM terrorists that were destroying this city, other cities back in 2020, guess what? They're all back. They're all back. Don Lemon, front and center too, shoving the propaganda down your throats, hoping you're dumb enough to believe it, hoping you're dumb enough to say, well, maybe Don does have a point there. He doesn't have a point. And it was interesting too, because yesterday, Deputy AG Todd Blanche, he was doing his media tour. And he made several appearances, including on CNN yesterday. And CNN, he actually did a pretty good job at pushing back on CNN because they were cherry-picking information that they were trying to give their audience. And take a listen to that in clip three.
Starting with Overt Act number 20, which says, quote, Defendant Lemon told his live stream audience about congregants leaving the church and about a young man who Lemon could see was frightened, scared, and crying. And Lemon observed that the congregants' reactions were understandable because the experience was traumatic and uncomfortable, which he said was the purpose. Overt Act 21 says, quote, as the operation continued, Defendant Lemon acknowledged the nature of it by expressing surprise that the police hadn't yet arrived at the church and admitted knowing that the whole point of the operation was to disrupt. Why wouldn't a jury at trial see this as a journalist observing what is happening, which is protected by the First Amendment?
Well, you conveniently left out multiple allegations in that indictment about what else Mr. Lemon did, including surreptitiously avoiding saying where they were going, being part of the planning, being part of the decisions to make sure the police didn't know this was happening and federal law enforcement didn't know this is happening. There are multiple allegations there. And guess what? He gets to have a lawyer and he gets to have a defense. And so if he wants to go forward with the defense that, aw, shucks, I was just a journalist, he can do that. But obviously, as the indictment lays out, and which you didn't read on the air, there's a lot of things that Mr. Lemon did that you would never do as a journalist. Well, you would never do that.
Let's be honest. This is not about me. This is about what happened, and this is about kind of the rules of the road.
This is not about me. This is about Don Lemon. We're trying to push a narrative here, Todd Blanche. Don't you dare interrupt us. See, this is the thing, right? They say what they want to say, and then it's Blanche's turn to respond. And she has to keep trying to cut him off. This is what they do. They can't handle this. They are trying to control the narrative. They don't want you to understand that Don Lemon is a piece of human garbage. Always has been. Never has been a journalist. I cannot name one. Even if you want to go all the way back into the archive machine to his days at CNN, I don't remember ever hearing about one story Don Lemon's ever worked on. Don't. Couldn't tell you. If you ask me, by the way, someone who obviously is a self-proclaimed independent journalist, if you were to ask me, hey, Brianna, what stories have you broken exclusively? I'd have a list for you. Tulsi Gabbard began to tear a watch list, me suing TSA for documents they refused to turn over, which later resulted in several breaking stories. My lawsuit against the VA, which is going to conclude very, very soon. Fingers crossed. I could break down a lot of different stories. Whistleblowers coming forward, telling me about the North Carolina floods, what exactly was happening, what the governor was doing, what he wasn't doing. I have a list of exclusive stories because I am an independent journalist. Don Lemon doesn't have a list. Don Lemon has nothing. Has nothing. He's a political commentator at best. At best. Not very good at it. But that's what he does. And the problem is you have a bunch of people who are now coming out to defend Don Lemon. And they're the usual suspects, right? People who will defend anyone, anything who's on their side politically. Jemele Hill, remember her? She was that failed sports commentator over at ESPN. She was just, there's always the victim card. Nothing much of intelligence spewing from that woman's mouth. It's absolutely infuriating when you listen to her speak because every single time she speaks, she is a victim of some crime, some racist crime. She speaks from a platform of victimhood rather than a place of intelligence. And it's just frustrating to have to sit there and listen to her. But in clip four, you're going to have to do it again because I had to do it myself this morning. And in this time, she's pretending like the reason why the president is going after Don Lemon is because he's, get this. You're not going to expect this turn because Don Lemon's black. Take a listen to clip four.
There is a reason why I think the reason why Donald Trump not only picked independent journalists, but black journalists in particular. Clearly, we know there's no love lost between Don Lemon and Donald Trump, that he's been very critical of the president. The president had, they've gone back and forth. But if we go back and undo all the layers of all of this, it was black journalists that were really at the forefront of calling Donald Trump out from the birtherism movement throughout a lot of the things that they saw early before the rest of the press really picked up on some of the things that concerned a lot of black journalists. Hello, me, who also called out Donald Trump in 2017.
Oh, I love when they talk like this. First off, it's probably inappropriate for her to be wearing a blonde wig or weave. Like if I were to put on, like get my hair braided, I'd probably get beaten up and she'd be the first one to jump on that. Number two, President Trump isn't using the FACE Act to target Don Lemon because he's black. And I tried looking up to see if Hill's ever commented on the case of Bev Williams. Of course not, though. Bev Williams being the woman who was arrested and thrown in prison for 3 years. Just happens to be a black conservative Christian, of course. The Biden regime had no problem throwing her in under the FACE Act. Why? Because she's a pro-lifer. Never heard Hill speak up on her behalf, though, of course. They never do. They never do. So now they want to drum it up and pretend like Don Lemon is somehow the victim. He's the victim of his own stupidity. Folks, he knew exactly what was going to happen there. He had all the inside information. I'm sure when they start getting copies of their phones, you're going to find out that they were planning this all out, whether it was through Signal, Telegram, whatever it is. And normally I'd be against all of this, but guess what? They wrote these rules. We're playing by their rules. They called on innocent pro-lifers to be thrown in prison because they were upset that Roe versus Wade was overturned. People like Bev Williams was thrown in prison, was expected to be there for 3 years until President Trump saved her. Hill didn't comment on that. Why? Because she's a coward. Because she's a coward. Her only contribution to any type of political discussion is the angle of Donald Trump is a racist. Because she's unable to actually have a conversation. This is what's going on. These people are being elevated to the top because they push the narrative. They are intentionally divisive. They are intentionally doing this to divide this country. Now, whether or not you let them win on that one, that's on you guys. I've had enough of listening to all these talking heads sit here and pretend like Don Lemon's a victim. We're all victims. You're not victims. You're a victim of your own stupidity, of course, but you're not actual victims of a crime. You're not victims of racism. And it's crazy when you go back to the archives, you just start listening. Back in November, I mean, Don Lemon was out there literally trying to get his followers, which aren't many, I must be honest with you, for a guy who had a cable news show, which they spent millions of dollars on platforming him all the time. You look at how many people have actually transferred over to his personal accounts, his social media accounts. You see, he's got massive following, but his numbers aren't there. Why? Because probably a lot of those accounts, if I had to give my opinion on the matter, are probably fake bot accounts. We see this all the time with those on the left. Their accounts are intentionally inflated to make it seem like their beliefs are popular. But we all know once it starts to kind of peel back the layers of the onion and they lose their CNN gig, they can't pull in an audience. They can't. You go through Don's Twitter feed, just scroll through. You'll notice every one of his social media posts, he doesn't have much of a following. People don't really interact with him. Why? Because they don't like him. They don't like him. That's why they canceled the show on CNN. It was like a 1 hour bitching fest every single night. All he did was cry. And nobody wants to listen to that nonsense. And that's the reason why he's out. But Don Lemon is in fact a terrorist, and I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like he's not. He is. He is. We have enough proof of just that. He was just a couple of months ago, back in November, was going out there and telling his followers to arm themselves. Now, imagine if I told you all on air today that the government's coming for you. You better stock up right now. You better arm up. If any federal agency knocks on your door, you better get ready to shoot. If I said that, we all know what would happen, right? But when Don Lemon says it, everyone looks the other way. Oh, he's just a journalist. He's just a journalist. In clip 5, he's doing just that. He's telling his audience, whoever's still watching these days, to arm up because ICE is going in without warrants and just snatching up people off the streets. Don't believe me? Take a listen to Don Lemon himself at clip 5.
Black people, brown people of all stripes, whether you're an Indian American or a Mexican American or whoever you are, go out in your place where you live and get a gun legally. Get a license to carry legally. Because when you have people knocking on your door and taking you away without due process as a citizen, isn't that what the Second Amendment was written for?
Ah, Don Lemon, now an advocate for the Second Amendment. Who would have known? Who would have known? I love how he's just, you know, he's obviously like a girly man. We all know this. But I love how he just sits on the sidelines and then rallies up his audience to go out there and do something. Do something. You can't just stand by. Get a gun. Fight ICE. Is that what journalists do? Do journalists make comments like that? I've never instructed my audience to ever take up arms and go against the government. I'll teach you how to file a FOIA request, how to sue the government. I'll teach you all that. But imagine if I told you, get ready, they're coming for you. This is what the Second Amendment was for. Strange times when you have people like Don Lemon now advocating for the Second Amendment. Don Lemon, though, he's very low IQ, not very intelligent, but his buddy, his butt buddy, we'll say, Chris Cuomo, is just as stupid. In fact, Chris Cuomo is continuously going out there to defend Don Lemon. And I know Chris sees it, too, because, again, Chris is another one. Since his no longer CNN days, he cannot pull in an audience himself. So the other day I did tag him on X to ask him, because he continues to call Don Lemon a journalist, and I keep asking, Chris, show me one article. Show me one story that Don Lemon has done over these last, what, year and a half, 2 years as an independent journalist. That was an exclusive, an investigative piece. He's done absolutely nothing. He's done absolutely nothing. But that doesn't stop them from using this false narrative. And Chris Cuomo now, who's obviously just constantly getting beaten up with clips from his past, trying to rewrite history, trying to pretend like I'm a moderate now. He's not. He hates us. He's personally told me in DMs that he hates us. And he must do everything to eliminate the fringe. That's what he called me. Most people probably, I would say I'm a moderate back in the sane days. But folks, Chris Cuomo is one of the dumbest human beings too. He actually gives Don Lemon a run for his money. And even though I keep calling Chris Cuomo out, he doesn't have the cojones to respond because why? He's a coward. But Chris Cuomo really has a bad, bad record. And in clip 7, he is now apologizing. And he's almost on the verge of tears while apologizing. Take a listen to clip 7.
We've been led so far afield. We're so f***ed up. We're so twisted up. And you want to say, oh, Cuomo, it's you. You know what? Fine. It's me. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I wasn't more aggressive about who and what Trump is and is capable of when this first all started. I'm sorry. Okay? I'm sorry that I didn't push back more during the impeachment when all the Russia and the dossier and everything was so flimsy and it was so obviously political. I'm sorry that I wasn't more muscular in testing that. I'm sorry. I should have been. I'm sorry that I didn't have a platform during the phase of the pandemic when we started to learn that a lot of our underlying assumptions were wrong and that the government had been wrong about things, whether it was the need for distancing, the need for anything, the need for vaccines, the money, any of it. I'm sorry. I wish I could do it differently. I wish I had been more muscular with the brother and sister Democrats when they were thinking about riding the Biden train for a second term, when such a big part of why he got a term was because it was only going to be one and everybody knew he was at the end of his powers. I should have been stronger about how they were f***ing up this process and getting themselves into a position where they seemed like Trump was a less risky choice. I'm sorry. If that's what you need to hear. The idea that I've been repeating the same mistake is bullshit. I try. I wish I had done things differently. I wish.
It sounds like a bad breakup video. Sounds like he's pleading with you to come back. Come back! I'm not coming back, Chris. You're full of it. The American people see it, and they're done with all of you. They're done with all of you. All right, guys, buckle up. We got more to discuss in just a bit. We're going to dive into the Epstein files because a lot of fake news is out there. So they're trying to deflect your attention. But in the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now because, of course, we've got a bunch of exciting offers, exciting sale items. But those signature knives are on sale right now over at the shop. Check it out, thealexjonesstore.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. It dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else is doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there. The shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason one way or another we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster.
Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision.
Down with the globalists. Get ultra methylene red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. It's been a busy couple of days, trying to catch up on things, trying to figure out what's real, what's not. We're going to dive into the Epstein documents in today's show. I'll also be taking your calls in the third hour, of course. I feel like we haven't caught up in a while, so we'll be diving into those in a bit as well. Mark Mitchell is expected to join us at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. I figured it's probably best to operate only on ET. I know. All these Central Time people really think I got to catch up with them. I have to say that the world does revolve around Eastern time. It's kind of weird being on Central Time now, especially as someone who spent her entire life on the East Coast, because the back and forth time changes is quite strange. But folks, buckle up. We got a lot more to discuss. I also wanted to dive into a couple of other stories to make sure that they're on your radar, specifically ICE. Some good news. The Trump administration is advancing its plans to converge about 23. It's, commercial warehouses, e-commercial warehouses where they, normally be operating else other things. Well, they're now going to be looking to make those into immigration detention centers. Obviously, this is very, very much needed. We've got the article here where it shows you the map of where all of this is actually going to go. But take a look. This is what we found in Zero Hedge. We love Zero Hedge. But this is the outline. This is the map. So now the White House is going to be creating 23 of these new immigration detention facilities. And this is important given the fact that millions of illegals are apparently supposed to get due process. And so you got to house them somewhere. You got to house them somewhere. That number is probably going to have to triple. 23, though, is what we're looking at right now. The expansion is aimed to increase the detention capacity significantly to support President Trump's mandate for deporting more than 1 million illegal aliens annually. And 1 million is a very conservative number. That's according to Zero Hedge. 1 million is very conservative. I think you got to send them all out. And I'd be very, very disappointed if we looked at the end of his term and we saw that he only deported 5-6 million. That might put a little bit of a dent in the imports, but folks, I think that they're probably north of 20 million have been brought into this country. I told you guys, while the Biden regime was occupying the White House, multiple sources telling me that they were intentionally not replacing those failed security cameras across the border because they didn't want the American people finding out who was actually coming into our country. Because once you find that out, you're not going to be too happy. So when they throw numbers at you, just double it, triple it. That's the realistic way to approach all of this. I want to also spin over to this one, too. This was a good one. ICE has just announced that it had made over 650 arrests. Those were illegal aliens in West Virginia. Now, this is the incredible work that could be done when local law enforcement works with federal agents. That's exactly what happened here. In West Virginia, local law enforcement agencies are working with ICE, and they were able to coordinate this effort to wrap up a lot of these sexual predators, individuals who had drug priors. Another individual was charged with endangering the welfare of a child. So they rounded up 650 illegal aliens in West Virginia. And good on them. Good on them. Now, interesting enough, and I want to play this too, because Todd Blanche, I mean, he did give some good sound bites. I'll give him some credit there. It's not what you voted for, though. You didn't vote for those sound bites. You voted for accountability. But Todd Blanche did, in fact, give some good sound bites yesterday. In clip 8, Todd Blanche specifically went and, I can never say it, George Stephanopoulos. asked me to do that after a martini, though, and then I'll nail it. But in clip 8, I want you to listen to how he goes after him a little bit about the illegal aliens that have infiltrated into this country. Take a listen.
They are being released across the country as well by judges. And the president said he was going to prioritize those who had criminal records. But about 70%, at least, of those who have been detained don't have criminal records.
Well, just hang on. The fact that they're here illegally is a crime. And so when you say they don't have criminal records, they are, by their presence being here without status, having come into this country illegally or overstayed illegally, that is a crime. And so we have to be careful. And you're right, there is a schism in the law right now about whether an illegal alien can be held pending their proceeding or whether they need to be released on bail. We very strongly believe that they should be held, and there's a bunch of appellate cases. So that's another example of something where a number of district court judges have reached a conclusion that we very much believe is contrary to law, and there will be an appellate court and ultimately probably the Supreme Court that will be asked to interpret that. So we should wait before we withhold judgment until the appellate courts have had their opportunity to weigh in.
Isn't it amazing how he doesn't understand the fact that illegal aliens mean that they are illegally living here and that is a crime? They love to do this dance around when it comes to the term. They love to do this dance around. The reality of it is if you are illegally in this country, you are committing a crime and you will be deported. I mean, we've had enough of this. I'm done with everyone who's, oh, well, maybe for the midterms, we should softball. We should only go after the worst of the worst. It doesn't matter. They're going to say what they want to say about you anyway. Go after all of them. Deport them all. We don't want them here. We don't want them here. I mean, the fact that we have these people trying to tap dance now and say, oh, we're just concerned about midterms. Maybe we should reexamine this. No, I think you should ramp it up a little bit. I think the American people voted for mass deportations because we've had enough of these invaders who have made their way into the interior of our country. And they are not contributing to this great country. They are, in fact, destroying this country. They are leeches. They are leeches. Now, you could sit there and say, oh, not all of them, but the vast majority are. And the American people did not, again, did not vote for just, you know, get rid of some of them. Not all of them. No, we voted for all of them. They all must go. And in my own little crazy head, when I call on mass deportations, I don't want it to stop at the illegal aliens. I say ramp it up, deport the liberals too. But that might be a little controversial. Wanted to talk about a couple of other things. I think this is really interesting yesterday because Dina Bash decided to also go, and this is a clip 12 that we're going to play here for you. I think it's really fascinating because Dina Bash is out here, and this is what the media's been doing. Tulsi Gabbard being at the raid in Fulton County has them all fired up. And so they're sitting here now and they're trying their very best to push back on what happened. And they're trying to get angry because Tulsi Gabbard was involved in all of this. Although, you know, being the director of national intelligence, it's actually right up her avenue. She's actually supposed to oversee the election process. But because she's a former Democrat who's now speaking about their internal corruption, they don't like her. And so yesterday, Dana Bash tried going after her, and it didn't really go over too well. Take a listen to clip 12.
Mr. Blanche, imagine if President Biden sent his politically appointed director of national intelligence to Mar-a-Lago. You and his other personal attorneys would have been understandably very unhappy about it. Are you unhappy that the DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, was there?
Well, first of all, Biden's director of ODNI was involved in that case, as we all know. So whether okay, but that's hardly the point.
And it also involved classified documents, not necessarily voter rolls.
And as again, there's a lot of classified information around voter integrity, which is something that came out during the case against President Trump and which has been publicly talked about for many, many years. So, no, I'm not unhappy or happy. Tulsi can go where she needs to go. She's phenomenal. She's doing a great job and she's a partner with us. But like I said, folks want to make something out of this that does not exist. This is a grand jury investigation being run by the FBI.
You see that? You see that? Again, folks, we have every right to get to the bottom of what happened in 2020. Don't let up on that. Don't let up on that. But most importantly, Tulsi Gabbard, it's literally in her job description to oversee the elections. Now they have a problem with it. Why? Because she might be onto something. She might be onto something. Democrats hated her with the passion. There was a reason why they were going after her. There's a reason why they put her on the terror watch list, which, by the way, the girl broke because everyone was a bunch of cowards and too afraid to say it. Tulsi Gabbard was added to a terror watch list because they wanted to try to silence her. They wanted to try to tarnish her reputation. It happens quite often. BS investigations are opened up against people. The slanderous campaign against Tulsi Gabbard, adding her to terror watch list just in case she ever decides to run for president one day, we could say, well, she did have questionable ties to foreign governments, and that's why she was added to the list. That's the kind of nonsense they'll spew, though, in their own defense, because we caught them. But folks, Tulsi Gabbard's actually probably one of the bravest individuals right now in the administration. She is doing her very best to push back, and they don't like it. They don't like it. That's why they're doing everything to go after Tulsi. Everything possible. If Tulsi Gabbard wasn't such a fighter, then they probably would have just looked the other way. But they know that Gabbard will actually be able to pull in a couple of their voters. I mean, listen, I don't think there's a harder working person right now in the administration. Probably her. I'd say Pete Hegseth got his work cut out for him too as Secretary of War. Obviously the president's being the first, but Tulsi Gabbard's doing an incredible job. I know I've got sources on the ground who tell me all the time that when she stepped into this position, she knew not to trust anyone, and that's key. So she stepped in with her own internal crew of individuals. They don't talk to outsiders. Why? Because they're all frauds. They're all trying to go after Tulsi. They have declared her as the enemy. Tulsi Gabbard's not the enemy. She is our ally right now in this fight, and I tell you, she's on it when it comes to this election integrity issue. Whether or not the DOJ actually ends up doing anything with any of this, that will be up to the DOJ. We've seen that Tulsi Gabbard has so far been extremely loyal with releasing key pieces of information to the American people. I'm all on board with Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know if you could tell if I'm sold on this one. but I truly do appreciate her. Yes, we might not politically agree with her on every issue. I'm okay with that, though. Is your heart in this? Do you truly care about this country? I think the answer is yes for Tulsi Gabbard. I had the privilege of interviewing her after I released the story. By the way, my story that I released, Sonny Labasco, Wendy Mahone, all of us teamed up for this story about Tulsi Gabbard being added to a terror watch list. The crazy part about all of this is Fox didn't actually want to run that story. I technically didn't beat them to it. They were just a bunch of punks and they didn't want to run it. Why? Because they don't want to piss off the intel community. And I have hobbies, and one of those hobbies is actually pissing off the intel community. And so when they punted, we ran. And again, this is what's going on right now in this country, though. We have corporate media outlets that are too afraid, by the way, to break important stories. The rest of us, though, if you have guts, you'll break it. But they just test the water, want to watch to see how it goes for us. And it was an honor, of course, to have Tulsi on my show, to sit down with her, to talk to her. She's an absolute patriot. And I'm so glad that she is in this fight in Fulton County. Dana Bash, what a troll. Speaking of trolls, white liberal women are probably the worst breed of them all. I mean, I can't stand them. And I know I shouldn't be as fired up as I am on this topic. But there's nothing worse than watching white liberal women think that they're taking a political stance, that they're really going to change the world by protesting at Target. I mean, it is the ultimate level of liberal privilege where you think you're going to change the world by shopping at Target, but not cashing out. No, no, no. You're going to be a scumbag. You're going to fill up those carts with items from all over the store, and then you're going to take them to the front, and then those employees who are making $16 an hour are probably going to have to be the ones to unload everything and put it up back on the shelves themselves. And why is this topic itself just such a close one to my heart? Well, folks, when I was 16, I was Target team member Brianna. And so were my other siblings. I'm one of seven, in case you're wondering. And so my parents came up with the logic of, it's actually very smart. To take us all, we'd all have one employer, which was, I mean, I worked at pizzerias and other places, but the bulk of us worked at Target. It was like a one-stop shop, hoping that they put us on the schedule all at the same time, so my parents could just do a one drop and one pickup. I can't confirm whether this is AI or real. But I did. I even had I had a history teacher in high school who was like, loved the fact that I was a Target team member. And Mr. Materatona, at the end when I graduated, I gave him his own little Target team member badge. I had them make one for him. Now look at me now. But interesting enough, back to the subject matter. My passion, my hatred towards these trolls who go out there and fill up their carts at Target and think they're taking a stance against ICE. They're the absolute worst. And in clip 13, you're going to hear this one white liberal woman. They're just like, rah, you're doing great. You're doing great. Take a listen to their logic as to why they're protesting at Targets.
Happening? Can you tell?
We've been told as we've been coming to Target stores chatting with managers that this is open to the public, so that they actually can't take people out of the store because it's open to the public. So we really wanted to come today and use it as public space. That's what they told us it was. But when we came in and tried to sit down and hang out and use it as public space, as they told us that wasn't allowed. They said we have to be shopping. Well, first they told us we have to be standing. So we stood. And then they told us we have to be shopping. And so we said, doesn't seem like ICE comes in here and shops. Do you kick them out when they're not shopping at Target? Oh, how interesting. But it does seem like they want to kick community out of Target. So that's what we're here to do today, to call out that hypocrisy that Target actually can kick people out of their store. Yes. And they should be kicking ICE out of their store every day.
Thank you.
Yes, you go, girl. You go, girl. I love the neck turns, right? Like, she's such a badass. Good for you. Just because ICE agents want to shop at a store, we have to now protest that store. What will that actually do? Well, no one knows. No one knows. But Karen over there, she's set in her ways. We're going to protest at Target. I don't care, folks. I actually love Target. And I know, obviously, there's been some very controversial left-leaning moves that have been made by Target, but You know, I'm biased. That's how I started. That's how I started all of this. Back in the day, team member Brianna. It was a Comac store in Target, by the way, in Long Island, in case you're wondering. Folks, let's turn to something else, though. President Trump and, I'll vent about this in a second, but in clip 14, President Trump is going out there and talking about Cuba now. And I think a lot of us were a little on edge given what we saw in Venezuela. We want to see how that pans out again. I don't really have a strong take yet because I think there's probably something that we're not knowing about in regards to Venezuela. But I can tell you that I'm not happy with what I've seen so far in Venezuela. Doesn't seem like we're actually doing anything over there. Doesn't seem like there's any actual change. But now President Trump's got his eye on Cuba, and it's interesting because he's talking about just that. Take a listen to clip 14.
We're starting to talk to Cuba, yeah? We're starting to talk to Cuba. But they need help on a humanitarian basis, and we're starting to talk to Cuba. I would like, don't forget, a lot of people that live in our country are treated very badly by Cuba. And we want them to be, they all voted for me, and we want them to be treated well. We'd like to be able to have them go back to a home to their country, which they haven't seen their family, their country, for many, many decades. So we'll work that. I'll be able to work that out.
All right, I'm kind of over this, right? I'm kind of over having a president who's hyper-focused on foreign countries. Yes, do I wish the Cuban people the best? Yeah, I hope that they could get rid of their communist dictator that's been leading their country into the ground. The Cuban people are incredible people, but guess what? We've got our own problems here. There are families who can't even see their families here in the United States. Why? Because they're too busy working 6 to 7 days a week. And we'll get into this with Mark Mitchell in a little bit, because the affordability crisis is a big one. And for some reason, I don't think we're doing enough to address it. In fact, I'd argue that we're doing the bare minimum. That's why so many young people are turning to communism, because they don't see any type of hope in this capitalism system, the capitalistic system that we have set up right now. And President Trump, you know, he's done a lot of good, but his focus right now on what's going on in Cuba, not even on my top 50 card, not even. I don't care what's going on in Cuba. Don't care. Don't care. I don't think there's really any strategy there in that one either. And it's just frustrating. It really is frustrating to see. Do you want to see Cubans free? Yeah, of course. I don't want to see anyone living under communism, but that's not my problem. We've got our own problems here in this country. We're not doing enough to fix it. Mark Mitchell will be sounding off on that because I know he's fired up about it. But the affordability crisis, I think, is probably one of the worst. And I keep talking to people within the administration right now, and a lot of people, and I hate being pessimistic, but a lot of people are telling me, Brianna, nothing's happening right now. Nothing's happening of substance that the American people want. Everything intentionally. There's a little tent around the president, and we can't get things in that need to get into him. Now, obviously, it's deeply concerning, and for the rest of us, we're sitting back and going, all right, well, we want to see him focus on America first policies, fixing this country. Although he's doing it, it seems like it's a part-time gig, and the rest of it is foreign. And it's fair criticism. By the way, I don't know if you guys saw it on his X page. This one had me fired up. I was a little annoyed when I noticed that there was a post regarding certain individuals. Alex's face was shown in it as well. President Trump shared a video of some meme video that was set up. And ultimately, in it, it's going after people who simply ask questions, like the Hodge twins, who simply ask questions. Alex Jones, who simply voiced the concerns of the American people. Apparently, we're not allowed to ask questions. We're supposed to sit there and allow them to do whatever they want. Do whatever they want. And, you know, the point about all of this to me is this. There's been nothing more divisive than people going after others on this side, right? I don't even go after conservatives. I keep my opinions on that front to myself. Why? Because it's not productive. I'm not one of those people who came into this world and wanted to go viral on social media. It was more about helping others and saving this country. And the reality of it is we're not doing either of that because we're too busy having these internal feuds. Oh, I don't like what you said about President Trump. Now I'm going to go after you. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to ruin your career. I don't understand why we do this. The left doesn't do this. You know why? Because they understand the mission. The mission for them is obviously communism. It's obviously destroying this country. And although they might have their own internal feuds, they don't publicly air it out. Why? Because they understand the division is what they don't want you to see. They want to create a division on our side. That's the reason why when there's a feud between certain conservative influencers. You see the mainstream media just going at it, covering it. Why? Because they love it. They love it. It's a distraction. It's a distraction to the movement to saving this country. And there are many people on board with that just right now. And they don't want you criticizing. Why? Because a lot of people like their access, right? They just like having access to get to the White House or to get to other agencies. And so they won't criticize. Now, me personally, I criticize respectfully. You could be respectful with this criticism, but you know, the point of all of this isn't just a rant. The point of this is to tell the American people, like, you can have an opinion. You could sit there and voice your concerns and say, this White House isn't really working for me. Or I don't like that move. And you should be able to voice those concerns without others going after you just because you're not aligned with the Trump is the best president ever movement. He's done some great things in my lifetime, great things in your lifetime. But to sit here and to be naive and to pretend like everything he does is great is ridiculous. And when the president does hear about things, he himself, and I'm sure it wasn't even a social media post, I'm sure it was somebody else running his account on Truth Social, but he himself likes to hear criticism. And we've seen, once he realizes how his base is on certain ground, where his base stands on certain issues, he does change. He does change. And so keep that in mind. Keep in mind when everyone's going after you or Alex or the Hodge twins or Owen Schroyer or Sidney Powell or Candace Owens or Tucker Carlson, the goal here is to be divisive as much as possible. And so that's the key issue here. These people who are going out there and trying to divide us, I have a big issue with it. I do. You could have your criticism. Shoot, even Laura Loomer has her criticisms for the Trump administration. Doesn't mean you're anti-Trump. Just means that you think a little bit more. All right, folks, I want to tell you all right now to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because they have this new rolling sale and it's live right now. What this means is discounts are rotating and so the availability might change. So you got to head on over to the website right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and take a look at the discounts that we have going on right now for supplements specifically too. Your methylene red, which I know everyone's loving these days, that is on sale, 10% off. And again, this includes so many of our vitamins, Ultimate Burn, obviously colostrum, the sea moss capsules and gummies, so much more, all on sale right now when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. You got to take a look. Again, these discounts are rotating. So right now, methylene blue looks like it's up to 25% off. When you head on over to the shop, make sure you grab that now before that sale rotates. Also great item, these energy shots. I highly recommend them. I do one a day. I just got my two cases in. I sent also a couple of friends some as well because I can't stop bragging about those. Just launched those over at thealexjonesstore.com. So head on over there. Mind Fuel. These are incredible, incredible, incredible energy shots. I have to say, no caffeine, so you're not going to get the jitters. And it's energy that lasts throughout the day. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and stock up.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at thealexjonesstore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in. In just the last few days, our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it, these sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks, okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. It's a nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire with its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. Yes, those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.
Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today on this beautiful Monday morning. It's a beautiful Monday morning. We've got a lot to discuss in just a bit. We'll dive into the Epstein files. Mark Mitchell joining the show in just a little. We look forward to having him on, of course, as always, because I got a lot of questions from Mark Mitchell. Specifically, though, I want to talk to him about the Trump administration, because the affordability crisis, I think, is one of the biggest ones that we have to deal with right now, and I don't think we're doing enough. Also, Liz Churchill will be joining us in a little bit as well. Liz is an independent journalist who's been diving into the Epstein file. She'll be joining us by phone, and we look forward to having her on the show as well. She's got a lot that's been going on. Obviously, you guys have been seeing it all on X, unraveling. A lot we're going to be diving into. A lot of things making its way to the internet that I don't know if it's 100% true. So I've been trying to, like, before we post anything. And so I'll be skimming, and I'll probably take me a couple of days, because everything that's popping up online, I try to go to make sure it's actually available up on the DOJ website to make sure these aren't fake documents. And here's why. And I'll go into detail about this. I'm kind of fired up. I think a lot of people are intentionally trying to create false information, put false information out there, because they want to deflect from a lot of the key elements that are coming out in these Epstein files. They don't want you paying attention to it. So if they sit there and they put out fake documents, then people go, oh, well, how do I, that might be fake too. But it says about Bill Gates, for example. So it's an effort to discredit the information that's coming out, but we are not going to do that. I will be running some of the information that we verified so far. Liz Churchill will also join us as well to dig into what she has found. Obviously, there's a lot there. But, you know, President Trump this week is nominating a brand new Fed chairman. And this one's going to be interesting. It's actually just Fed chair. Because obviously Jerome Powell is up in May, and we are looking to replace him. He's been absolutely atrocious. He hates President Trump, and most importantly, he loves his globalists. And so he's always aligned with them. And the interesting part here is President Trump is trying to do a quick switcheroo. Now, the new nominee might have some Epstein ties. We'll have to see. But I want to play clip 15 for you, because this is the White House speaking about that specifically the other day. Take a listen.
Certainly don't think a United States sitting senator should be holding the entire country and our economy hostage over the fact that he has some political disagreements with an investigation that the Department of Justice is overseeing. And the DOJ is overseeing a probe into Jerome Powell, a legitimate probe. And Jerome Powell is expected to be out of this job in May anyway. So I don't understand Senator Tillis's argument there. President Trump has appointed Kevin Warsh, who is a highly qualified and distinguished economist with a very exceptional resume. And the White House is going to work with the Senate to quickly confirm him, because we need a new chairman of the Fed, not just for timing purposes, but also for our economy. Look, President Trump has brought the core annualized inflation rate down to 1.4%. This is a remarkable turnaround from the record high 9% inflation we saw under the previous administration. And President Trump has done the work. His policies are working, and the interest rates for the American people need to be lowered. Kevin Warsh ultimately will make that decision himself. But it's very unfortunate that Senator Tillis is making such comments.
Yeah, we'll have to see how this all unravels. Because again, folks, this will be interesting. Now, Tillis is someone who obviously aligns very much with the World Economic Forum. He's openly discussed just that. We actually played that clip for you last week, I believe it was. It was the week before when he openly admitted to doing just that. So no surprise why he's a big pusher on this one. No surprise at all. Do you remember this guy, George Zinn? He was initially actually one of the possible suspects that was arrested. If you remember when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, there was an individual who came out and said that he was the one who shot Charlie. Now, obviously, this man was not the one who shot Charlie. But his appearance was just quite strange. Everything about it was really, really strange. Well, he just pleaded guilty to two counts of sexual exploitation of a minor. Apparently, when the feds were going through his phone, he admitted that he had child pornographic images on his devices. And he has since been charged. And obviously now he's admitting, yeah, I did that. Isn't that interesting? There's always some child predator angle to all of this. Big issue and others. There always seems to be something about that. Interesting how that happens. Our folks are going to, we're diving to the Epstein files in just a bit. So buckle up, stay put. A lot more happening in just a moment.
Energy shots have been all the rage for decades because they really work. But most of them are full of dyes and toxic stimulants and have huge crashes. We set out to develop a product at thealexstrongstore.com that has all the very best adaptogens, nootropics to biohack your body and not just help your brain, but every cell in your entire body. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Mind Fuel is next level with no letdown, no crash. It is very strong. So I take half a shot in the morning, half in the afternoon, and it's just amazing. And again, the effects go on for days and days and days because these are super nutrients that are in Mind Fuel. For the time I have here, I can't tell you all the incredible ingredients. So go to thealexjonesstore.com and look at what is in it, and of course, proprietary herbal ingredients as well. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and secure your Mind Fuel and be the reason we'll always be on the air. Thank you so much for your support. If you love our other products, you're going to love Mind Fuel.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Monday, everyone. I do like Mondays. It's kind of like a clean slate to start things up. Also, the beginning of a new month, February. Where the heck is time going? I don't even know at this point. I don't even know. I feel like every single day I'm barely getting by. It starts up super early. We're just off to the races. And then before I know it, it's like 8 o'clock at night. I don't know where time's going. It's flying by. But I don't know if you guys saw it. And this is my problem with the Epstein files. Okay. There's a lot of things coming out and I'm trying to, and we'll take calls later in the show. So if there's something else that I missed, you guys could dive into it, but it's really frustrating because I want to get to the many layers of the Epstein files. Cause it's not simple. It's not just here are some files. We'll throw them out there. I want to remind our audience that people's names are popping up in the files doesn't mean that they're guilty of raping children, but it does mean, especially if it's after the time when Epstein was actually convicted of being a pedophile, those who did business deals with him, I would say, are probably the worst of the worst. Before we dive into that, I want to give a big shout out to Citizen Free Press, because Kane over at CFP is one of the best in this industry. But most importantly, he has just posted our show up on the homepage, and we are very grateful for just that. Kane does an incredible job at working frantically to get you the latest information as well. It is a great resource to utilize. He's been a big InfoWars fan, supporter, of course, and we love and appreciate all the incredible work he does. So thank you for having us up on your homepage today. It is obviously an honor. But I want to dive into the Epstein stuff because there's a lot that we need to sift through. Obviously, as many of you guys know, this has been an ongoing battle. The American people wanted these Epstein files to be released, and we've been pushing for them for quite some time. And President Trump did lay out that campaign promise, and then we also had our problems, right? And I understand from this angle, again, just because someone's name pops up in the Epstein files doesn't mean that they were raping children. But what it does mean, though, if you're a scumbag and you decided to do business deals with someone that you knew was a convicted pedophile, then you are just as guilty as the individuals who are out there raping the children. I see no difference. But as many of you guys know, there's been a couple of people who've been advocating for the release of the files. And obviously this has been pissing off the president. Democratic Congressman Ro Khan is one of them. He's been very fired up and upset about all of this. And in clip 9, you're going to hear him say that not everything has been released so far. Take a listen.
Has the Justice Department fully complied with the law, Congressman?
No, they haven't. They've released at best half the documents. But even those shock the conscience of this country. I mean, you have some of the most wealthy individuals, tech leaders, finance leaders, politicians, all implicated in some way, having emails about wanting to go to Epstein's island, knowing that Epstein was a pedophile. It's frankly one of the largest scandals, in my view, in our country's history, and there is a demand for elite accountability. But the survivors' lawyers that I've talked to have said that the survivors are still upset. They're upset that many of their names accidentally came out without redactions, and they want to make sure the rest of the files come out.
Now, obviously, this is a massive, massive release, and so you have to be a little bit lenient when it comes to these things, right? You can't just jump down DOJ's throat. I understand millions of pages has made its way out there, but there's going to be some slip-ups, and unfortunately, you don't want any of the victims to have their information released, but there's been this over-redacting that's been going on, and that's my big key issue here, too, is the, well, what are we redacting? What are we redacting? Because we know that the government is trying to protect those that they don't want their information coming out there. I mean, take a look at this. This is a redacted email address, and we don't know who Epstein is apparently sending this email to. This could actually be a victim, though. But if you look at this one, the DOJ redacts the name of an email that was sent. And I want to know who this is, because this could be a victim. This could be a video of a victim who is being tortured. But ultimately, this email coming back in 2009 from Jeffrey Epstein himself, where are you? Are you okay? I love the torture video. Now, what does that mean? That could be a victim, or that could be somebody who actually did torture a victim. This is the problem, is we don't trust the government. We've seen how they've redacted things. We even know that there's key members in Congress who are saying, okay, they're going a little too hard with the redactions. And it obviously is very, very concerning. Now, as many of you guys know, the Congresswoman, Democratic Congresswoman, Stacey Plaskett, was texting Epstein, as many of you guys know. But it wasn't just that benign, just a little text message here and there. We know that they were regular in communication. There's also allegations that she actually did visit Epstein Island. I believe that just came out in a recent email dump. So I don't... This is a woman, by the way, who just pretended like she was just texting a constituent. Doesn't look like that. She also received several donations from the convicted pedophile as well. And again, I mean, if you look at the dates on all of these, it's infuriating. These people knew exactly who Jeffrey Epstein was. They just played along. And it's not just that, too. Obviously, people who are nervous these days, Reid Hoffman's one of them, the founder of LinkedIn. And again, these are just accusations, because our DOJ is a bunch of punks and they're not going to start charging people. But obviously, Reid Hoffman's name is popping up everywhere, according to emails that have now been released. They reveal that Epstein and Reid Hoffman discussed visits to Epstein's private island, the New Mexico ranch, and his New York apartment. Hoff's name, I mean, apparently he's a frequent, very good buddy with Mr. Epstein. Well, pops up apparently about 2,600 times in the DOJ's Epstein file dump. Hundreds of emails between the two, Zoom calls, dinners, meetings. And this took place 2013 to 2018, so a 5-year time span. Again, this is the deflection. They don't want you to realize what's actually happening here. They are trying their very best to downplay all of this. And this is why I'm telling you to be very cautious, because there's a lot of fake stuff circulating online. And the reason is to shy away from the key parts to all of this. Reid Hoffman being a key part to all of this. Now, was Reid Hoffman sexually abusing children? Well, you could speculate however you'd like, but unfortunately, there hasn't been anything of value when it comes to an investigation being done. Now, again, all these people, I mean, this is why Reid Hoffman went so aggressively hard at President Trump. This is why they've done just that. There's this massive effort to keep pushing out information out there that might not be true, and there's a reason for it. Again, they don't want you paying attention to this, like this email. I mean, apparently, and again, this could be a setup, but apparently Bill Gates, another name of a person who does not want anything to do with the Epstein file dump. Why? He's been deflecting for a very long time now. He's been saying things that distance himself from having any involvement with Epstein, downplaying his relationship with Epstein. If this email is factually true, it could be maybe a blackmail email. I don't know. I mean, we're talking about a very evil, evil man here, but he's accusing Bill Gates of catching an STD from a Russian girl. And again, Russian girl. Now, we don't know who this Russian girl is. But apparently, Bill Gates was looking for a way to slip some medication into Melinda's food. I mean, according to this, I guess you could just say that. He was looking to possibly drug his wife because they didn't want to tell her he caught an STD from, allegedly, potentially, dealing with Russian girls. And again, I don't think any of this is consensual when they're girls. But the part here that's really frustrating for me is we don't have any actual investigations going on into any of this where Bill Gates has had to answer any questions. In fact, Bill Gates is getting seats at the White House table, being invited to dinners. One of the most evil men in our society, consistently, what he's done to the people, the vaccine push. He's more worried about putting mysterious vaccines. They're not even vaccines because they don't really offer immunity. But he'd rather go after all of us than worry about his own personal health. And, you know, the interesting angle to all of this is obviously, as many of you guys know, Bill Gates was married to Melinda. And obviously in the emails that are being released, it sounds like even Epstein knew that was marriage was donezo. It was very obvious to me when Melinda was trying to finalize divorce agreement that she was openly blackmailing Gates. And that was the interesting part in all of this. She would kind of put out a little breadcrumb here and there of information about his relationship with Epstein. And so Bill Gates did his very best to shut it down, in my opinion. I do believe he did process his divorce a little bit faster when he realized Melinda's getting ready to speak. What a creep. What a horrible human. Allegedly. Because you got to sprinkle that in there every now and then. But if you listen to Melinda Gates while she was waiting for the divorce to finalize, she was very much applying a lot of pressure here. And in clip 10, I just want to take you back to the point where Melinda is walking a very thin line in outing her ex-husband. Take a listen.
You know, it was also widely reported that Bill had a friendship or business or some kind of contact with Jeffrey Epstein and that you were not, that was very upsetting to you. Did that play a role in the divorce at all in this process?
Yeah, as I said, it's not one thing. It was many things. But I did not like that he'd had meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you made that clear to him?
I made that clear to him. I also met Jeffrey Epstein exactly one time.
Did you?
Yes, because I wanted to see who this man was. And I regretted it from the second I stepped in the door. He was abhorrent. He was evil personified. I had nightmares about it afterwards. So, you know, my heart breaks for these young women because that's how I felt. And here I'm an older woman. My God, I feel terrible for those young women. It was awful.
You felt that the moment you walked in.
I didn't realize that. He was awful.
Yeah. And you shared that with Bill and he still continued to spend time with him?
Any of the questions remaining about what Bill's relationship there was, those are for Bill to answer.
Okay.
But I made it very clear how I felt about him.
Mm-hmm.
In case you can't tell by the tone of her voice, that's a pissed off ex-wife. That's a very pissed off ex-wife. I think it's quite obvious that she knows exactly what was going on Epstein Island. And I don't understand why we have not yet dragged her in front of Congress and forced her to testify. That's the woman I want to speak to. Now, will she turn on him? Likely not. But what is she going to say? What is she going to do? And again, I want to play the clip 11-2 for you because Bill Gates has been trying his very best to deflect. And this is why I'm telling you all that we need to verify the information before we start circulating it. Make sure it's real. And you could do that. You could fact check it. You could go to the page. You could key search elements. But Bill Gates feels very, very uncomfortable in clip 11 when he's being simply grilled for his relationship again with Epstein. He doesn't want to talk about it. He wants to deflect and you can't let up anytime soon. But take a listen to how he did just that.
Now, one of the issues that's dogged you is that of your relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Do you regret the relationship that you maintained with him against Melinda's advice and wishes?
Oh, I've said that you're going way back in time. But yeah,
new audience.
I will say for the, over 100th time, yeah, I shouldn't have had dinners with him.
Epstein had a way of sexually compromising people. Is that what Melinda was warning you about?
No. I mean, I had dinner with him, and that's all.
And that you regret the relationship, the acquaintance?
That I had dinner with him.
Mm. And the relationship between the foundation and Epstein, which
there never was any relationship of any kind.
Yeah. So, of course, very defensive, very upset by these questions. He doesn't want to answer these questions, and it makes sense. It makes sense. Oh, by the way, he was planning another Sharan pandemic, it looks like, in another email. Bill Gates discussing just that with Epstein back in 2017. We've got that email for you, too. It's just another layer of the evil, evil. And I know a lot of people think that it's just an accusation, but, folks, I am just convinced, in my opinion, that this man is just pure, pure evil. And it's not just him. There's others who are obviously being named throughout all of this. Remember former U.S. Ambassador Peter Mandelson? He was pictured in the Epstein files just recently released in his underpants with a photo of an image that's been redacted of another person who's next to him. Now, keep in mind, they tell us all the time that when there's an image being redacted, that is a victim. And so that's the reason why they have to cover their faces. So if that is true, then the image is in fact a victim that they've just put out there with this man. And I kind of want to speed through it all because I want to get to the Nicki Minaj stuff too as well. But interesting enough, folks, this is what's going on right now. Also, there's these photos too that also came out of Prince Andrew kneeling over a girl who's clearly unconscious. That also happened. Oh, I should also mention Mandelson, who is obviously a part of the Labour Party in the UK, has resigned. Should probably mention that to you sooner. And again, it just reaffirms the ties to Israel as well. This latest document, we'll ask Liz Churchill in a little bit about that, because that's what she's going to sound off on as well. I also thought it was interesting, too, because back in 1999, Jeffrey Epstein anonymously submitted a FOIA request to the CIA to obtain all records the CIA had of him. Which is an interesting move to make. Why would you worry about what the CIA's got on you? But that letter was also posted as well. That was part of the Epstein files, apparently. His attorneys were looking for that information. They were trying to see, what does the CIA have on Mr. Epstein? And so they received their FOIA request back. And it, again, doesn't deny that they have a file against him, but they weren't going to share it with him. So I think that was really interesting. And we've got that letter for you. We've seen a lot too. We've seen a lot. But I want to focus in on this. And this is the reason why I want to kind of remind our audience. So let's say you are an unhinged lefty. Let's just say you're that. And you want to start going after people. You want to slander people's name. Well, we know that people were doing just that. They were actually calling into the FBI, giving false tips. And the reason why they were doing just that is they were hoping, I guess, to get people caught up in the Epstein files. Now, we saw that with President Trump. They did that to him. Again, nothing of substance. But interesting enough, and I want to take you back to this complaint, this 2019 complaint that also popped up in the recent dump. Now, I want to just keep in mind, I don't like Jay-Z. Strongly disagree with his political takes. But when a criminal complaint is written up, and this is my problem, when a complaint or a tip is made, I believe in everyone's right to be able to defend themselves. And so when someone comes forward and they report a crime that they say allegedly took place in 94, but they report this crime, this alleged crime in 2019, I am just extremely doubtful. And I always wonder, is this something that's politically motivated? But then again, Jay-Z does go out there and endorse a lot of these Dems. Do they have something over his head? Maybe. I mean, if you listen to him speak, he doesn't sound like he's well-versed in politics. But he's always got a take to endorse certain politicians in key parts during their elections, of course. But interesting enough, there was a complaint that came forward that accused Jay-Z, which is listed as Sean Carter and Harvey Weinstein, of sexual assault. Now, I'll spare you the details. It is right now up on X as well. But ultimately, this victim is alleging that she was sexually abused. And she also recalls Lean On Black and William Barr, which would be Bill Barr, if it's true. Currently the United States Attorney General, being present during some of the occasions of the abuse. And again, this victim in approximately 2006 last recalled being abused by Epstein. So the time stamps on it from 06 to 94 sound a little strange. But again, this is just an accusation. This does not mean that this actually took place. We have to remember that nobody actually wants to investigate this. They'll pretend like they want to, but they don't want to do a deep dive into this. But last night, just kind of shift gears, and we'll get back to the rest of the Epstein stuff with Liz Churchill at the top of the third hour. But last night, I was like, you go, girl, because Nicki Minaj has been sounding off on X about this, and I think it's actually quite fascinating. When you listen to Nicki Minaj and what she's been saying, it's what everything Alex has been telling you about. It's everything Alex has been telling you about. Specifically, let's get to this one. Are y'all understanding that these people have been sacrificing children as a way of gaining and maintaining power? If you ever vote for Democrat again, you're just soulless. But then Nicki went on. I mean, she's going off. She's going off. She's not going to accept, and she says it right in this tweet, that she's not going to allow them to bully her, which I thought was quite interesting. Also, she maps out the ages. I know a lot of these men were going after Aaliyah because she was super young at the time. R. Kelly included as well. Again, these are just accusations. But Nicki Minaj even coming out and saying, I won't be releasing an album until my contract is renegotiated, until I tell you about the sabotage this RICO is finding out about Billboard. So it sounds like Nicki Minaj is ready to blow the whistle on all of this. Also, something that we were told was a conspiracy doesn't look like it's a conspiracy anymore. It sounds evil. It sounds crazy. How could you wrap your mind around it? Well, it sounds like another celebrity is confirming what we've already known, what Alex has been telling you about for years. Your favorite artist has been practicing rituals in a satanic cult where they take babies from other countries, mutilate them, kill them as a form of blood sacrifice to their god. And then she goes on to say the jig is up. Now, one can only assume she's referring to Mr. Jay-Z. Again, this is my opinion. He has not been convicted of anything, unfortunately. But I mean, as many of you probably don't know, his nickname is Jigga. So one could assume what she's going with all of this. See, Nicki Minaj probably has seen some things. I mean, she's definitely seen some things. And so we look forward to Nicki starting to enlighten us a little bit more. As many of you guys know, they went after Kanye pretty aggressively as well. That was someone who formerly obviously worked with Jay-Z. They were once at one point allies. But suddenly things have changed. And if you're wondering why they've changed, well, maybe people just had enough. Nicki Minaj blowing the whistle on these celebrities and their satanic cult sacrificing babies. We were told that was a conspiracy. But yet again, another person, another credible person coming forward and saying, it's not a conspiracy. This happens. This happens. So at what point, how much more do we need to see before the government starts actually doing something? Won't hold my breath. Todd Blanche saying that they aren't yet charging anyone, but they're not completely against it. Which is really nice to hear, of course. And if you're listening, audio only, I just rolled my eyes. It was sarcasm. Don't jump on me. But folks, the American people want to see these people go to jail. We want to see these people rot in prison. We want to see them publicly tortured for what they've done to children. The Epstein files, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. More will come out. You can't keep hiding this. The American people demand more. People are coming forward who you never thought in a million years would actually come forward. Folks, in the meantime, turn over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because we have our new rolling sale going on right now. Discounts are rotating. So you got to head on over there to see what's on sale right now, and it's going to change. So right now, the methylene blue is up to 25% off. That includes also the Shilajit gummies and capsules and MK Ultra as well. Also, there's a ton of other items right now on sale. You got to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. 50% off the trench knife as well. And you get up to 40% off on mugs, posters, flags, all of the things you guys all love. And over at the apparel side of things too, t-shirts are 20% off, hats 15, hoodies are 25. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab this before the sales change.
I
have told the folks at Bigley, I said, I want to have the widest selection of combat daggers, trench knives, folding knives, you name it. They're high-quality brands that you buy in bulk that are very competitively priced. And then support the broadcast because I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in. And they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives that I went out and told them what brands I liked, what was going on, and they were able to get it. And so a bunch of the knives that sold out a few months ago, they're back in. And then these bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is forest green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. This is a great knife. This knife sells in stores for $75 all day long. We're selling it for 40-something and even bigger discounts, up to 50% off right now. Some of these knives are as low as $20 a piece. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. Go there now. We've got also the murdered out black, and I love how it's that Kydex, and it's got that real fine engraving on it, so it gives you that great feeling, that great, because I got sent hundreds of knives from dozens of companies, and I'm the one that chose all these, and these are from really good companies, really good quality, and it's just a great deal. And so do your knife shopping at theallexjonesstore.com. But let me tell you what's back in stock. We have the new ones, Alex Jones Blackout Folding Knife, 7.65 assisted opening folding knife, 3.5 high carbon Damascus blade, 1095 plus 515N20. This is all quality. D2 steel, black PVD coating, and stonewash finish, 3.3 millimeter black thickness, black G10 handle for a secure grip, 15.5 millimeter handle thickness for confident hand feel. Ball bearing pivot system for smooth deployment. I mean, it's a nice quality knife. All black, blackout finished. I call it murdered out. Fast, decisive, assisting, operating. Limited production, live before it sells out. And then we've got the same knife, but it's silver blade folding knife. If you like that, it's got a nice little hook on the end. So you can tie it to things. The forest green folding knife that is my close second, really a sexy knife. Same as the other one, it's just got that forest green. Call it forest, it's kind of like an in-between forest and olive, but it's nice. Kind of Border Patrol, I call it Border Patrol green. Let's change the name, Border Patrol green. That's actually what it is. This bad boy, these all sold out, but they always hold back a few hundred in case orders come in later or whatever. So tip of the spear, Spartan, trench knife with brass knuckles, murdered out, and the skull crusher, a few hundred of those. They held back a few of these. It had sold out, but there's about 200 left. The Velize Fire with this beauty limited edition. That funds the operation as well. It's a little different. The Skull Crusher is as big. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. This has been sold out. They only got 500 of these the first run. Sold out in one day. It is back. They got 1,000 of them. And it's just a great knife. Really sleek, really strong, very well made. And you've got it in orange. Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. I like that. Now we've got the Alex Jones Ring Blade. This sold out the quickest last time. That's an amazing product. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue and take advantage of the very best supplements in the world. We'll be right back. Thanks for funding the Second American Revolution worldwide.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. Special shout out to my dad, who is listening right now and texting me, telling me he thinks I'm wrong about, you know, my take on President Trump's foreign policies. Dad, if you want, you can call into the show. We can debate this out, hash it out. He knows. I just extended an invite for my dad to come on. We'll see if he does, though. I think he might be a little busy right now, but he is listening, so I'm thankful for that. All right, folks, I want to dive into something that I think is very important right now. My dad's not going to like it. He's not going to like this topic. We're going to talk about President Donald Trump. in just a second. President Trump obviously is someone who the American people voted for. There was a landslide victory, but I think a lot of people are looking at what's happening. It's like, I didn't vote for all of this. I didn't vote for all of this. As we inch closer to midterms, it's very important for Republicans to figure out a way to get us all excited about this upcoming election. Now, what do we have to be excited about? I'm not here to sell you on it. It's not my job to do that. But there's not a lot of momentum. And what's going to be the result of all of this? Well, Democrats, once they get back in power, we all know what they're going to do. They're going to be gunning up and trying to go after President Trump. There's a new Rasmussen Reports poll out that highlights just that. Because if Democrats do get power back, you all know what's going to happen. The impeachment, impeachment, impeachments. According to Rasmussen Reports, 73% of Democratic voters want to impeach President Trump again because that is the best use of our federal resources. During we discuss is Mr. Mark Mitchell himself. He's the head pollster over at Rasmussen Reports. And it's always good to catch up with him because, Mark, you give it to us straight. You're not one of those pollsters that likes to lie or inflate their numbers or, you know, make us feel all warm and fuzzy on the inside. You like to give us the numbers straight, so we're excited to have you on today. I wanted to touch upon the very first one that you guys just recently released, and that's the fact that a lot of Democrats do want their representatives going after President Trump. If they do get the majority back, they want him impeached. I don't know. That doesn't feel like how democracy works, but that's what they're going for right now, and that's the reason why Republicans are saying everyone needs to get out and vote for midterms or else they might impeach him. But is that really a motivator for Republican voters to go out there and to extend the majority for Republicans in both the House and the Senate? So what do you make of this?
Yeah, and also I want to apologize in advance if anybody gets whiplash. Everybody thinks that we're a MAGA pollster or we're hard right. It's like, no, we're just representing the voter. And objectively, Trump had a really good platform, and there's a lot to like about the things he did. But if he's messing up, if he's jeopardizing the future of the country for Americans, I'm going to speak out about it. And a lot of people who think that I'm supposed to be a cheerleader get mad about that. So maybe I'll hurt some feelings. Maybe I'll hurt your dad's feelings. I don't know. But I'll tell you, like, this is what it's about. They're trying to find momentum. And I think we can acknowledge that part of the reason about that is that Trump didn't really run on very concrete things. Like, obviously, there was the border, but he ran on, like, retribution and a golden age and hope and all of these things that are nebulous. And so when you can't point back to and say, look, I gave you a golden age, it's hard to keep winning elections because it does involve maintaining this momentum. And I think we can all agree over the last couple of months that there's been some problems because he takes one step forward and then two steps back in very, very, very clear, specific ways, like rolling back the promise to deport everybody. That was a really huge thing. That could be like George H.W. Bush levels of read my lips, no new taxes. Now, the impeachment thing, I personally don't think it's going to have any impact whatsoever. And I think people fundamentally know that because the conviction, when they convicted him, that actually made his numbers go up. He's already been impeached two times. And then the numbers here for supporting or opposing impeaching President Trump aren't actually even all that surprising. They're surprising in that we don't know what the predicate is, right? Like, that's the surprise. With Joe Biden, it was like, yes, we have the laptop from hell. He's profiting from China. Like, we know why that was happening. But here, they'll find a reason. And 49% of U.S. likely voters support impeaching Donald Trump, 37% strongly. That's pretty similar to his strong disapproval rating. So they are literally just voting on the feels here. They just want to impeach him because orange man bad. And only 45% oppose. And that's actually very similar to the number of people back in the beginning of 2022 who wanted to impeach Joe Biden. So it's basically, you know, red team, blue team, I guess. The biggest surprise to me here wasn't the Democrat number, 73%, 58% strongly support. That, you know, it's about right. That's the kind of number you'd expect to see because that's the percentage of Democrats who are insane leftists, about 60%. The number that surprised me was the independents here. Donald Trump basically won independents just a year ago in November 2024. And this group of people might be changing some, a lot of disaffected Republicans now because they're upset about Epstein or whatever. But they are 49 to 41 supporting impeaching Trump. That's kind of dangerous. You Republicans need to win with independents in order to maintain control of Congress. And so I think it's like it's probably going to happen. I'm looking at a Democrat plus six generic ballot. And even if Trump's approval numbers are okay right now, the writing is kind of on the wall for the fall unless they could turn this big ship around. And I don't think we're seeing it. So we're probably going to see the impeachments, and it's probably not going to be a problem.
Yeah, well, Mark, I mean, here's the thing, right? There's a lot that I think we could get those on the left to kind of agree with us on, and I think it should be a top priority. And I know we wanted to walk through the affordability crisis first, but I kind of wanted to talk about how a lot of Americans are true believers in voter ID and the requirements for voter ID. I mean, you guys just put out another poll, which matches one that you did last year as well, where 74% of likely U.S. voters believe that requiring photo ID to vote is a reasonable measure to protect the integrity of our elections. I mean, again, that's like the same that you guys did back in July. So I think that's really telling. But I mean, this would be an easy win, Mark. Why can't the Trump administration go out there and put this into legislation?
Well, right, exactly. I think what we're seeing here with this poll is that, as I've said many times, the era of performative politics is over. People can see through the two-party system, and they're sick of it, and they want the whole system burned down. Because we're not talking about, like, November of 2026, and Republicans are running on, you know, healthcare reform, or they're running on a new immigration legislation. It's like, no, there are very simple, specific things that we would like you to deliver. It's like, yeah, fire all the people who are bad in the federal agencies. That's like pretty easy. Just fire those people, right? You know, like let's crack down on companies that are abusing illegal labor. Let's just pass voter ID. Like, how hard is this? Why are we still talking about it? Let's just get rid of Ilhan Omar. Like, these people are criminals. Like, why can't? Yeah. And so especially a lot of younger people are like, what are we even doing here? If the Republican Party can't get these simple wins, like voter ID, that are obviously very popular. And that's, in my opinion, this is the most important point. Donald Trump's approval rating is -7 right now, net approval. That's not very terrible. Like, that it is really not that bad. It's like 47 to 54 or something like that. Joe Biden was underwater in double digits for most of his term. But like, every single thing that is just obvious is so much more overwhelming than Trump. Like, rating businesses that employ illegals is +26. Donald Trump, -7, rating businesses that employ illegals, +26. And, you know, like voter ID, what is this? 74 to 14, it's 58, +58. It's the most obvious thing in the world. And so we're not in the situation where it's like, okay, we still have a divided country. There still is like red team, blue team people, but it's increasingly it's going to be about getting your side to turn out, especially for the Republicans. And if the Republicans can't take something like this that America obviously needs, because we had all that polling on the 2020 election, people think that it was stolen. They really do. And this would help it. It's the lowest hanging political fruit ever. And if you can't get the Senate votes, why don't you at least bring the bill to the floor and make Democrats vote against a very simple thing that is +58? It's the most obvious thing in the world, and they're not going to do it. Like, I don't think they're going to do it. There was the Make Election Secure Again Act that I think was really good. I know it's been kicking around since March. Now, all of a sudden, we got some, like, in my opinion, some rhino-backed Make Elections Great Again Act, which is stripping some of the actual, like, teeth out of other legislation. So, again, we're looking at November. I'm not optimistic that this stuff's going to pass. And so I'm looking at a Democrat +6 generic ballot at this point and can't see a reason it's going to do much better. In fact, the Republicans might be demoralized and even underperform the polling.
Yeah. Well, that's the part that's really concerning here in all of this. I mean, Mark, as you just outlined, these are easy wins. And for some reason, they're not trying to grab at any of them. I know the president has been very frustrated about the lack of backing election integrity that's happening right now. He's been very vocal on Truth Social, but he doesn't call out the key people. I mean, he's still playing footsie with people like Speaker Mike Johnson, who should be, you know, laminating his agenda through these EOs that he's been signing. I mean, he's well north of 200 so far. And for some reason, they just don't feel the pressure, but they still want the American people to go out and vote for them. And I think that's unfair to sit here and say that we should have to just continue to vote for you, even though you don't do anything. It's just ridiculous. And then to blame it on us, if, you know, Democrats do get the majority, they're going to blame it on us and say, oh, it's the rest of them, the black pillars. It's the voters who sat at home and didn't go out to vote. That's the reason why you see these impeachments going on. But they haven't given us anything, any type of indicator that they are going to do what's best for the American people if given the opportunity to keep that majority. Because right now it's a very thin majority. But I know, you know, when you and I have spoken about this in the past, but obviously 46% of likely voters do agree that President Trump is doing a good job. But the reality of it is the affordability crisis. This is something that I know when you went to the White House, you made it very, very clear that this needs to be a top priority for the administration. And President Trump has done a little thing here and there since you've made your appearance at the White House. So I will give you full credit and say this is the Mark Mitchell effect. But what do you make of what you've seen so far? Because, I mean, they're investing, obviously, in mortgages. We've seen that. But is it enough?
I really don't think so. And he has done some stuff. But unfortunately, like the new reality, again, with performative politics, is that younger voters are like a truffle pig for inauthenticity. And so if you say something good one day and then say something horrible the very next day, like they're going to see it. And guess which one they're going to like is going to go viral. It's going to be President Trump talking about it's like, OK, we were going to deport 20 million. And now we're just going to deport the people who are criminals. That's only like 1 million or less, right? And so all of a sudden, these 19 million people who are affecting the labor force, driving up prices, driving up taxpayer burden for these illegals, we're not going to go after those all of a sudden? Like, that's pretty big implications for affordability. And then the other big one he just did in the last week, and we talked about this specifically at the White House, was the housing market. It's a really big problem. Is it Zoomer and Millennial number one concern? Like, no, but they think the housing prices are a crisis. They know there are bigger problems, like the criminal accountability and the waste, fraud, and abuse. But then Trump shot himself in the foot with a 50-year mortgage, and then he just said, like, overwhelmingly, loudly, repeatedly, is that we don't want to affect the housing prices. We don't want to lower them. And so when you focus on egg prices, when people can't afford rent, that's a problem. And you say we're not going to affect that, even though he ran on lowering housing prices. And unfortunately, like, I guess housing prices would jeopardize some people's fake paper wealth. And he weighed in on the generational battle there in a way where it's like the young people will know this. Most of the young people will know this. And his approval rating with young people is like 40-41%, I think, today, last week. Okay, look, we can't buy a house. And Trump's talking about gas prices and egg prices, but he wants to keep the boomer fake home equity wealth. That is very clearly a market dislocation. Like, get it that, house price to income ratios are like 5, 6, 7x right now, and historical average is like 3 or 4. And so it is a bubble, and we're all just going to pretend that it's not a bubble, huge elephant in the room. And again, it's like you need these people to turn out. They want waste, fraud, and abuse. You got rid of Doge. They want arrests. Nobody's been arrested. In fact, the one person that got arrested got unarrested, right? They wanted government reform and a restoration of trust in the federal institutions. Nobody's been frog marched out of the FBI. We haven't seen anything about, like, the CIA has not been, fragmented into 1,000 pieces and scattered to the wind. Let's just put it that way, right? Patrick Byrne's out there, like, accusing Ratcliffe of being, like, corrupted with compromise. So none of these core major things, because of this existential election, Trump term won, it was like, hey, let's roll the dice. Let's see what this guy can do because we know the system's not working. Now it's like, well, I think there's a feeling of existential, like the time is running out. This is musical chairs. The music has stopped. Everybody's scrambling for the chairs. That's what the economy feels like to me. And we're talking about egg prices and keeping housing up. It's just not enough. People will see right through it.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I want to play this clip for you, too, because I know Senator John Kennedy's getting a little bit of flack, but he's also talking about the inflation angle to all of this. Let's take a listen.
Do you think that the Justice Department needs to just pull this Jerome Powell subpoena to try to get the show on the road and address some of those affordability concerns that are kind of flashing warning lights for the midterms?
Well, look, I think that Paul was correct.
Okay.
When moms and dads lie to have them sleep at night and they can't, they're not lying there, as the Democrats think, worrying about whether a man can breastfeed. They're worried about the cost of living. They're tired of having to sell blood plasma to go to the grocery store. They're tired of the increases in their housing costs and their insurance. I mean, I could go on and on. And it needs to be addressed, and I've encouraged the president to address it. And it's not enough to tell the American people not to believe their own lying checkbooks. Mm-hmm. They know about their personal finances. Is the president responsible for the remaining inflation? No, he helped get inflation down from 9% to roughly 3%. But it's still not enough. And every waking hour in Congress, and I've told Senator Thune this, my good friend, should be spent on trying to figure out what ways to increase wages and reduce prices. And we can do it.
Are you worried about losing?
So, Mark, I want you to weigh in on this, obviously, because, I mean, he sounds like what you and I sound like when we talk back and forth all the time, but the inflation angle to this is a key one. Again, it's not President Trump's fault when we talk about the inflation that's gone on. And I do believe that a chunk of this also is corporate greed. I don't see that a lot of these companies are going to start bringing down their prices because they think that the American people have adjusted to paying a premium price for their products. But I want to hear your take on that.
I mean, he is always right on the target, and yeah, he's exactly correct. And he sounds like what Trump needs to sound like, and Trump isn't. I said this in the White House in November 18th. Last fall. And I said, stop saying that we have achieved the American golden age. We have not yet, and we're not going to. It's going to take a lot of work, but you have to understand the reasons that we're here. And it's like you said, corporate greed, corporatism, a lack of government oversight, a lack of ethics in these boardrooms, short-term focus on stock market gains, like all of these things, the offshoring that has not been attacked, the H-1B, all of these ways that undercut Americans' wages. Yes, we have inflation, and most of it's because of Biden, but it's also, let's be fair, a two-party problem. But Trump even says that we can't deflate the economy. He said it multiple times out there, and he's right. And so you can't meaningfully actually reduce any of these prices without it having a ripple effect in the rest of the economy. We can't actually reduce prices. We can stop inflation. Congratulations, he did. But you have everything that's much more expensive than median income because wages have been suppressed for 2 years or 2 decades. They've been suppressed by both parties. And so if you can't get prices down, then stop talking about prices coming down. Reframe it as, yes, we're going to create economic opportunity. These investments will yield more jobs. Everything we are going to do is there to inflate the labor market. And that's the number one thing, in my opinion, that would help with the under 40 voters. They don't want, like, what they say they support it because they know you're not doing anything. They don't, the wealth confiscation and redistribution to help them buy houses. They will go for that if you can't give them an alternative. But the alternative is if they have a high paying white collar job, then they can afford a house. And then they're not complaining about affordability and they can start a family and raise kids and all of the problems with our social culture get rolled back. Like, remember, Charlie Kirk told us this. This is how you create conservatives. You get them married, you get them a mortgage, you get them a high paying job. And Trump doesn't really talk about that at all. And I said, you have to smash the oligarchy and not be the oligarchy. And what would an oligarchy want? What would a circle of plutocrats that surround Donald Trump want? They would want wage level suppressed. And that's what big business wants. And that's what big business pays Republican lobbyists want. They want endless, infinite immigration. They want a bottomless well of scab labor. They don't want unions. They want a free market and open economics so that they can increase corporate profits. And so, again, we're talking about an affordability framed with egg and gas prices when wages have been suppressed for decades and corporations are going to have record corporate profits this year coming up. It's going to be a banner year for corporate profits. So there's no belt tightening there. And Americans know this. Corporations are mistrusted even more than the federal government in polling. They say these industries, these tech companies, these large, and the young people know it. Three quarters of voters under 40 want major industries nationalized. That's their level of concern. And so when Trump surrounds himself with these people and is very comfortable hugging them and having them invest in building the East Wing, and they're going to renovate the Kennedy Center now. And then he's going to, like, hey, look at these marble armrests we have, but you're never getting a house. Yeah. It's not going to work. It's not the path forward.
It's frustrating. And I know it's the reason why so many young people are turning to communism, and that, you know, they look at the liberals and they say, oh, well, these are trying to address the affordability crisis. And it's not the case, but it's the only one really having the conversation. You know, there was just the report that Zohran Mahdani over in New York City, who's obviously trying to run New York like a communist regime right now, but ultimately he's celebrating the fact that he's had a good term, start to his term so far, even though 10 homeless people have died from the freezing temperatures because he's refused to force them to get housing. And so this is what they do. And sadly, their voters will not pay attention to see, well, so far things are not looking too well for them. And he promised them affordable housing. He promised them all these things, but he's actually prioritizing getting affordable housing for ex-cons rather than the people that voted for him. So I think that's an interesting element to all of this. But as you just detailed too, you know, the companies, we don't really hear President Trump calling out the companies by name, although he will probably apply pressure behind the scenes. I mean, a lot of these corporations are refusing to bring down the costs of a lot of these products. You know, I heard Target was going to reduce a couple of their items, hundreds of their items, the pricing. I shop at Target quite frequently, and I actually have not seen a reduction in the prices itself. Why do you think he refuses to say their names, though?
Well, and what's weird to me is, like, he does, he picks a couple punching bags, right? Like, Jamie Dimon got upset when Trump capped interest rates at 10% on the credit card companies, which I will add is very deflationary. That's a very deflationary thing. And so there's not even internal consistency here. It's like, hey, no, these home values can't go down, but we're going to eradicate maybe hundreds of millions of billions of dollars of credit. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of weird. And so I wonder if there isn't, like, art of the deal going on behind the scenes. But again, that Trump term one, art of the deal was adequate. Getting a list of accomplishments, no matter what they were, putting them on a list was adequate. Now what's going to happen is that you're going to have these traditional conservatives, these establishment Republicans who will come out and vote for whatever person the Republicans put on the ballot. They just will. But the problem is the under 40s don't call themselves Republican. The Trump voters are not conservative, mostly. They just want drastic action and they want the system fixed. And unless you're talking about the things that they want fixed, and yes, they think that corporations are the problem. And again, we have all of these things that are super popular. Like, for instance, should the federal government impose strong penalties against U.S. employers who knowingly hire illegal immigrants? It's like, yeah, of course. It's plus 26. E-Verify, which we have. We could just mandate it at a federal level. We have E-Verify. It's plus 44. Trump's -7.
Yeah.
Mandating E-Verify at the federal level is plus 44. Like, why wouldn't we do that? And then hiring illegal workers harms legal workers by reducing pay, diminishing working conditions, and making fewer jobs available to Americans. And Americans are like, yes, obviously, of course, 58% to 36% plus 22. And yet he's out there saying, well, you know, we need these workers, right? We can't get, you know, they're working real hard. They've been here forever.
Yeah. It's not what the American people want to hear. I mean, we voted for mass deportations. I took it to another level, though, in my head and said, let's deport the liberals as well. Although I know that's probably not what he meant. But no, we voted for mass deportations, and anything but is actually discouraging. And I saw the numbers, too, that they're, you know, the goal is 1 million deported a year, but that's not nearly enough. And we need to figure out how to ramp up those numbers. The good news, though, is they are opening warehouses up. There's 23 warehouses going up that are going to turn into ICE detention facilities soon, which is a good angle for it. But, I mean, we need to triple those numbers. We need to get these people out of the country.
Yeah.
And as quick as possible. Mark Mitchell, thank you for joining us. You do an incredible job every single time we have you on. Most importantly, do a great job on X. So, folks, give him a follow on Twitter, Honest Pollster. You are the person that is well-trusted by those in the White House because you got all the right numbers. And you're always right, Mark Mitchell. So thank you. We appreciate you being here.
Great to be here. Thanks.
All right, folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now because we have our new rolling sale. It's discounts that rotate. So you got to head on over to the website to see what's live right now. And so far, get up to 25% off methylene blue capsules, obviously, as well, included in that, as well as the Shilajit gummies capsules as well, and the MK Ultra. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com to see what's on sale right now.
I'm here to announce a new, extremely exciting product at thealexjonesstore.com, and that's Mind Fuel, brought to you by the same folks that developed Optimal Human. This is an Optimal Human product. We set out with our sponsor, Bigley, to come out with a clean, nootropic energy shot that doesn't have any letdown but gives you clean energy. This stuff is so strong, though, I take half a shot in the morning. It's a big shot. And another half in the afternoon if I need to work late. But again, you can still sleep on it because it's not a traditional stimulant. So if you loved Optimal
Optimal Human, the strongest, best, super nutrient-packed green drink out there. Available right now at TheElectricSource.com. You are going to love Mind Fuel. And when I go through these ingredients, go research these for yourself and then know, when you find out how great they are, that we have the very best and the very strongest in this product, Mind Fuel, available right now at TheElectricSource.com. Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, benefit, no crash, no blood sugar spike. Advantage can be used daily without guilt, and it's good for your whole body, not just your brain. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy. Advantage, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. Nootropic Alpha GPC, Citricoline, DMAE, GABA. Benefit supports mental clarity and focus. Advantage competes with premium brain formulas in a convenient shot. And the best part is, it's an adaptogenic and herbal proprietary blend. Balanced, grounded energy. Advantage appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers. And then it's got high-quality electrolytes and a spectrum of high-quality B. If you love our other products, TheAlexShowStore.com, you are going to love Mind Fuel. And if you haven't tried our Ultramethylene Blue or our Shilajit or our Sea Moss or our Bovine Colostrum, you're crazy. These are all incredible products. Get your Mind Fuel now at TheAlexShowStore.com and help keep us on the air while empowering your life.
Today. All right, I'm back in the hot seat, so as many of you guys know, and we want to hear from you, but give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in third hour of the show. Liz Churchill also joining us in just a few moments. Got a lot to sound off with her in regards to the Epstein files. There's so much that was dropped, and there's, like, you know, there's some stuff that's fake. There's some stuff that's real. Going through it, trying to check everything before putting it on air today took a couple of hours for me to go through all of it. There's a lot out there, and it's frustrating because there's this intentional push to put out false information because they don't want you seeing the key players in all of this. Because then they can say, well, how do you know that's real or not? Because there's been so much fake information put out there. But we're not letting up anytime soon. I know that's what Reid Hoffman and Bill Gates and others want us to do. And, you know, the former prime minister of Israel. A lot of people are on edge these days, and they should be. They should be. But again, why be bothered? I mean, nothing is really happening in regards to there being actual criminal charges filed against these people. You know, we heard from Todd Blanche, no charges planned for as of yet, but you know, if they do say anything. Can you imagine millions and millions of documents in the possession of the federal government and they can't seem to make one law stick to go after these people? You can't get anything? I don't believe it. I'm not believing it. It doesn't make any sense when you think about it. The only way it makes sense is if you don't think about it. I mean, the reality of it is they've now turned over, what, 3.5 million documents? I think that's what the last number was. And you're telling me you can't figure out how to charge anyone? You can't even put together a client list? The guy documented everything. Everything. You know, they just hope that we're just as stupid as they are. That's the only way to go about any of this. I can't sit here and pretend like, oh, well, here's a photo of Prince Andrew hanging over a woman who is clearly, or girl, who is clearly, and her face is redacted, which tells you this is probably a sexual assault victim. But again, we can't sit there and say clearly whether or not Prince Andrew was raping children, but we can tell you he did spend a lot of time with Jeffrey Epstein. And we can't tell you that that is a real photo. This is the part that's so frustrating, right? Because there's no actual investigations into any of this. So unfortunately, legally, you have to say allegedly every 10 seconds. But these people should be answering questions. They shouldn't be allowed to get away with this. And this is what's exactly happening. They're getting away with this. You want to send a clear message. Hang these people from the highest tree and do it publicly so everyone in the world could see. Right? Because we also know there's victims who are alive. Why aren't we hearing the victims tell their stories in regards to who sexually assaulted them? Anyone who's a part of this, I do, and I'm not going to take this one back. I do want them dead. I do want them killed. To have committed these horrible acts against these children and to think that just because you were an elitist that you're going to get away with it is infuriating. yeah, there's some people's names who are being thrown out there in the Epstein files who haven't done anything. But if you knew he was a convicted pedophile and you still wanted to do business with him, you were just as guilty as the rapist. I see no difference. I see no difference. Again, folks, these Epstein files, information trickling out. It's important to fact check it. Before you share anything on X, just run it past the files that have been posted, just because there are people out there who are intentionally putting bad information out there. They come from these anonymous accounts and they're just dropping them out there. They want to discredit what we're doing here. They want to discredit what we're finding. And you can't allow that to happen. You can't allow that to happen. You can't allow these people to get away with what they did to these children. They need to be hung from the highest tree. In this country, we don't take pedophilia seriously enough, and it's infuriating. It's infuriating. It's going to release millions of documents and then just say, sorry, we didn't find any criminal wrongdoing here. Then why would the FBI, why would the DOJ have any of this? And of course, there's the videos that they're probably never going to release to us as they continue to do this little dance around and pretend like we're all a bunch of morons and don't understand what's going on here. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Again, we have that new rolling sale. Discounts rotate, so you got to head on over to the website to see what's live right now. Specifically, though, apparel is on sale. 20% off t-shirts, 15% off hats, and 25% off hoodies. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and a father and a guy who loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night, to quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Third hour of the program. There's a lot going on over here. Happy Monday, everyone. Our The Epstein files were released, and as they always do, they wait until the very final hours before you head into your weekend, before they do a big document dump like this. So they hope you don't pay attention to it. They legally now have to go out there and put out these documents, but they're hoping that you are just too preoccupied with your weekends to do some digging. But, you know, there are some great independent journalists who've been going out there and doing the digging themselves, and they've uncovered a lot. Now, again, I'm going to keep warning you guys. There's a lot of fake things that are circulating online. Why? Because it's a deflection. They're able to sit there and circulate fake things. They could sit there and say, well, how do you know that's real or not? How do you know the DOJ released that? They've released over 3.5 million documents. That's what they got. They're trying to discredit what's been put out there, and it's really important that we don't, because there's a couple of key players in all of this, obviously, political individuals. But most importantly, people like Bill Gates. Bill Gates doesn't want you paying attention to any of this. He doesn't want you seeing the internal emails of possibly what was happening allegedly. We keep saying the word allegedly because, of course, they have not been convicted of anything. But according to an email, Bill Gates apparently got an STD. Maybe trying to figure out creative ways to smuggle some drugs to Melinda. Joining me now to discuss is independent journalist Liz Churchill. She joins us by phone, and she's going to walk us through a lot of the Epstein stuff. And Liz, it's an honor to have you on. I'm excited to have you here. I kind of wanted to start off with the Bill Gates stuff because, you know, I don't think Bill Gates wants us talking about his involvement in all of this. And, you know, in the beginning of the show, we played a lot of clips, and you know, they had a lot to do with specifically what Bill was accused of. And again, he hasn't been convicted of anything. And I want to keep driving that point home because sadly, our government's too weak to actually launch a real investigation into this. But Liz, we're seeing millions of documents make their way out there. What do you make of what you've seen so far about Bill?
Well, thank you so much for having me on this morning, Brianna.
Thank you.
And I will tell you that it is absolutely horrific, these Epstein Island documents, because when you read through them, you will discover that Bill Gates with Jeffrey Epstein They were talking about a pandemic simulation before the pandemic. And of course, these documents are dated back to 2017. So when we look back on the pandemic that was forced upon us, it really reads like this was in fact planned well in advance. And I actually find it disgusting that people were forced to take medical advice from a habitual visitor to Epstein's Island. As you know, Bill Gates is not a doctor. He's not a scientist, nor is he a vaccinologist, which begs the question, like you previously said, he was trying to find creative ways to slip antibiotics into his wife's drink or food. And I really think that this is a moment that we need to ask ourselves, if he's willing to do that to his wife, then what is he putting in those vaccines?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Liz, that's a fair question to be asked. And, you know, I'll let you kind of sound off on this too. And then I definitely want to hover over the vaccine related issues as well. But I want to say Melinda Gates, you know, I was watching as, you know, they filed for divorce and they were going through the whole process. But when they were getting onto the point of finalizing that divorce, it seemed like Melinda was very publicly, and we played a clip earlier in the show, that she was trying to apply a little bit of pressure to Bill and that she wasn't going to go out there and publicly start outing his information. She kept saying, well, talk to Bill about that. But anytime a question was teed up for her, she did say that she strongly disapproved of Bill hanging out with Jeffrey Epstein, and she was very angry about that. What do you make of Melinda? Because I think that's a key point in all of this. We haven't really heard directly from her since the divorce was finalized.
Well, I think that she used a very diplomatic approach. She wasn't going to air out all of the issues that were pertaining to their divorce, but she did make it very clear that she was disgusted with Jeffrey Epstein and that she was with him at a meeting. And she came back later that night and stated, I do not like him and I would like you to cut ties with this individual. And now we know that Bill did not. So this is a very complicated situation because I believe that she's not the type to go out and tell everybody about the intricate details of the relationship, but she did make it very clear that she was quite uncomfortable with the relationship between Jeffrey Epstein and her ex-husband, Bill. Again, this is a situation where I think that when all the details are known, I believe that the public will be so horrified and they will be asking many more questions in regard to the close ties that Bill Gates had with a child sex trafficker. And again, you don't want, like you said earlier, there's enough information that's been put out there that has been incorrect, and we have to stick to the documents that have been proven to be true. So do I think that she will make a statement? I don't know. But I sure hope that Bill does, because this is disgusting. What he has done is a crime against humanity. I think that everything regarding the pandemic should be completely investigated. And again, people need to go back and watch Event 201, which was a pandemic simulation that mirrored the pandemic that we were forced to live through with astonishing accuracy.
Yeah.
Something is very, very wrong here. And even HHS, RFK Jr. has stated that, you know, Bill Gates was hosting a coronavirus pandemic simulation in New York City. His co-host was Avril Haines, the deputy director of the CIA. What were they doing there? And why was this paid for by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're gonna get that clip up in just a moment in regards to RFK Jr. and the allegations that he made. as well, because I think this was a really interesting one in regards to Bill Gates hosting a corona pandemic simulation in New York and the attendees and all of that. We actually have that clip right now. Let's take a listen.
This is what the National Security Agency is saying, that they believe that September 12th was the day that it actually began circulating.
Okay.
A month later, you have in New York City these Bill Gates hosting a coronavirus pandemic simulation. At that, his co-host is Avril Haines, the deputy director of the CIA. What is the CIA doing at a public health forum? They don't do public health. They do coup d'etat. But now Avril Haines is the top spy in America. She is the, and she is the one who hid the torture tapes from Abu Ghraib, you know, during that CIA scandal. So that she now is the head of the National Security Agency, top spy in the country. She's also in charge of the coronavirus response. Oh, at the simulation, you have Avril Haines, you have people from all the social media companies, you have people from the pharmaceutical companies, mainly Johnson & Johnson, the biggest one. They do, and you have another guy, peculiar guy, George Gale, who's the head of the Chinese CDC.
Oh, man, he sounds sneaky.
Anybody, so George Gale must have known
yeah.
that this was circulating at that point. By the way, any of your listeners who does not believe what I'm saying can go and look up Event 201. It's still on YouTube.
And this was before the pandemic?
It was after it started circulating, but none of us knew about it until January.
So this is after the NSA had said that this had occurred.
The NSA now says, looking back,
this occurred.
Is when it occurs. And at that time, they didn't know.
So then there was a get-together.
The world did not know until around January 3rd.
So then there was a big get-together of some...
So then they're all together planning, here's how we're going to handle a coronavirus pandemic if it happens.
Was Fauci there or no?
Fauci was not there, but there were people from his agency there. So, and the interesting thing is, there was no discussion of public health. Mm. They weren't saying, how are we going to get repurposed medications? How are we going to link 11 million doctors, frontline physicians around the world on a communication grid so that we can quickly figure out what's working, you know, what's working in Bangladesh, what's working in Argentina, what are the best protocols, what are the best repurposed medications that seem effective against
Right, like what's already working against this type of thing that we could ask people to get prepared and get on
all
now
right, let me
to
step
help
in on
themselves.
This, Liz. I kind of want you to walk us through it all because obviously this is deeply, deeply concerning, but I like that he's giving away all these details. What do you make of it?
Well, this is very concerning because, again, in order to produce such a simulation, you need writers, you need the actors to participate in said simulation, which takes us back a year prior to that. So the question becomes, if they knew that this was going to happen, why didn't they use resources to help the frontline workers? Instead of pouring millions of dollars into a simulation, for what reason? Why did they need to practice this beforehand? It defies common sense. So yeah. When you have the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the World Economic Forum cosplaying as virologists, vaccinologists, and doctors prior to a pandemic, like I said, which happened with astonishing accuracy, there needs to be an investigation because now we know several years later that the vaccine, which was forced upon our world, which was heavily promoted by Bill Gates, has injured and murdered millions of people. Yeah. This is unbelievable. More people have died from this than both world wars combined. And like you said before, the government doesn't appear to be investigating anyone or anything for this, which I find absolutely appalling because I speak with the people that have suffered through this, and they're not receiving the answers that they deserve.
Yeah, and Liz, the part that's really frustrating here is I keep having to say the words allegedly, And there's a reason for that, because they've refused to investigate Correct. Any of this. And it sucks because the harsh reality is no one's been proven in court to be a pedophile, to have, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Epstein was, but I mean, Epstein yeah. got that great deal, and that's sarcasm, folks. But the reality is he was given a sweetheart deal. And it's really frustrating that we won't get to the bottom of any of this. But it's not just Bill Gates also looking to suppress a lot of the information that's coming out, I'm sure, right now, and trying to block the American people from seeing his ties to Epstein, although he tries to distance himself at best. But I also want to get to Reid Hoffman, because I remember Elon Musk, months ago, Elon Musk said, yeah, both Reid Hoffman and Bill Gates are probably sweating bullets right now because they don't want this information out there. But we're learning more, because in these Epstein files so far that have been released, I mean, Reid Hoffman's name is listed 2,600 times in these emails. There's been multiple visits, according to the emails, multiple layers of communication through Zoom calls, dinners, meetings. What are you making of all of this with Hoffman as well?
Well, Elon was correct. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for the X platform, we wouldn't be getting out this information. So all of us should be very fortunate.
Yeah.
That we have this avenue to give out this information, because you and I both know that regime media would absolutely refuse to do so themselves.
Yeah.
And Reid Hoffman, yes, like you said, his name appears many, many, many times, and he knew exactly what he was doing. And I do think that a lot of the people that were in these files repeatedly were pushing to not have them released. And we also know, if we go back to Bill Gates and Dick Durbin, and when Kash Patel had stated that Bill was actively lobbying the Senate to ensure that these weren't released, and this was even after he gave a $50 million contribution to the Harris campaign. I mean, when we look at these emails that have been produced, we know that there was a massive cover-up, and that does go to Bill, Reid, and all of the key players that appeared to be closest to Jeffrey Epstein and his trafficking network. So it's unfortunate that it has come to this and that it wasn't released before. And again, like I said, we should be very thankful that we have a social media platform to publish these findings, because there wasn't a chance that regime media was going to do so.
Yeah. Well, you know, Liz, you're spot on, because we know this because we haven't seen them talk about this. I mean, I haven't seen anyone of substance go out there on any of the big shows and detail what we're finding in these Epstein files. They've quickly pivoted. They're so happy to cover the ICE protests and everything else, except the documents that are here. And again, I think the only coverage you're ever going to find of this is both on InfoWars and over at X. So you're spot on with that too. Right. If we didn't have X, we'd be nowhere. I mean, that's where this all kind of lays right now. Unfortunately, everyone's a bunch of cowards. So I think
we would be banned. We would be banned. If it was the old owner, we would be totally banned.
Yeah.
And that again tells you the depth of outright treason, genocide, child trafficking. Every single heinous crime known to man has been happening, yet nobody seems to want to report on it. That's a very big red flag.
Yeah.
So, again, what they did, which is what you said earlier, is they flooded the zone with fraudulent documents and incorrect emails to try and divert your attention away from the truth. So people need to be very careful with the information that they see floating around, because not all of it is authentic.
Yeah. Yeah, Liz, I also want to hover over this point too. Ehud Barak, he's a former Israeli prime minister. Yeah, we've heard a lot about that name previously. And, you know, obviously we're learning more and more about there's allegations that he had stayed multiple times at Epstein's New York apartments. And there's more documents coming out about this relationship between the two. Now, again, these are accusations, I have to keep saying. But I want to talk about this a little bit, because obviously most people who've been following the Epstein scandal know that Epstein has very close ties to Israel. Is there anything else that you saw in this latest document dump that has your ears perked up?
Oh, I mean, there was videos, right?
Yeah.
So not only did we have these former prime ministers, we also had the monarchy, right? The Prince Andrew. Those pictures were horrific. And like you said, Ehud Barak, he was a repeat offender in these documents. And some of the atrocities that were detailed in these emails are so horrific that they require a warning to viewers before they listen or watch them. Then we can go in even further to what I found very disturbing, Brianna, was the former U.S. ambassador to Mexico that impregnated an 11-year-old girl and had a former U.S. Marine serve his prison sentence. And this was after DNA tests concluded that he was the father. I mean, the rot of these garbage humans runs deep. And it's so unbelievable that people find it very difficult to digest because you have to cross that psychological line where you have to admit to yourself that such evil exists, such evil did happen, and the question now becomes, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's a question that all Americans need to ask themselves is what we're going to do about this. Folks, and just one second, too. Liz, I wanted to get to this because I know our audience is probably wanting to jump into the conversation. The phone number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That's the number you could call into, and we'll be taking your calls in just a little bit. But, Liz, I wanted to also get to this because yesterday we heard from Todd Blanche. And although, we haven't seen any charges actually stick, we haven't seen anything happen, he is alluding to the fact that DOJ is open to possibly filing charges against these people. But, you know, Liz, I kind of want to hear your take about this because, again, we're in a situation where – you know, we're seeing the DOJ say it, that they will do something, but you have over 3.5 million documents that you're releasing. You're telling me there's not a single crime in any of this? It's kind of strange, isn't it?
Well, it is very strange because the average American would face prison time for not paying taxes. The average American would face prison time if they took something from a store that was $10. So when we're dealing with this level of criminality, I think that the crimes go so deep and the crimes are international. I think that eventually that they will be charged. However, they have to do this carefully because, again, we're dealing with some of the most powerful people in the world. We're dealing with the most richest people in the world. And in those documents, you have Jeffrey Epstein basically admitting that he works for the Rothschilds. So this goes way up. This goes above and beyond our government. And I guess on a positive note, we now can confirm who our governments really work for, how they're compromised, and why our world is spinning into this satanic abyss of some of the most heinous crimes known to man. And I do believe that there will be justice. I do believe that. Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. Well,
I would like to see someone like Tony Podesta charged,
yeah.
Right? We're looking at a house of cards. So once you have one arrest, these criminals, they will all turn on each other. And I think after a first big arrest that everyone else will start falling as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Liz, we're hoping for it. I mean, at this point, it's long overdue. And not only for the victims of, you know, obviously the attacks, but I think the American people need to see arrest to have faith in their federal government. I mean, they've lost so much of our trust. And so the only way to restore it is to actually go after the corruption. So we do hope that they do just that. But Liz, I want to thank you for calling in. I know it was the last minute, so I greatly appreciate you joining the show.
Oh, no problem.
It was an honor to have you on. We look forward to having you on again in the future.
You.
Liz Churchill, folks, give her a follow on X as well. She does an incredible job and posts some really important content, so we're very grateful for her. Thank you for joining us, Liz. All right, folks, I want to remind you to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We have a new rolling sale, and it's live right now. Discounts rotate, And so you never know what kind of great deal you're going to get. So you got to keep going on and check out the alexjonesstore.com right now. Some of your favorite items are on sale, up to 40% off. The trench knives are 50% off. A lot of your favorite items like the mugs and posters, they're up to 40% off as well. And then your supplements are discounts all over the place. Methylene Blue, 25% off. MK Ultra, also 25% off as well. You got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you grab it before it's too late. We'll be right back. Dan Bongino, we got a clip for you about him talking about Epstein. It's going to get good.
Now, this new product is incredible. It's from our sponsor, Bigly, at thealexjonesstore.com. Optimal Human, you love the green powder super nutrient, the very best out there. Well, this is Optimal Human Nootropic called Mind Fuel. Introducing Mind Fuel, a super healthy, super strong energy nootropic adaptogen, which doesn't make you sick, doesn't have a letdown. It is incredible. Not just a few of the bottles. Look how many bottles are in there. And I only drink about a half a bottle a day. It's so strong. Look at that right there, ladies and gentlemen. So that's what comes in each box of this. And it is simply amazing. Optimal Human Nootropic Mind Fuel is here. This clean, caffeine-free energy shot is designed for clear thinking, steady focus, and zero compromise. It's time to abandon sugary energy drinks and stimulant-heavy formulas in favor of clean, functional, nootropic-based energy. Zero calories, sugar-free, no crash, no blood sugar spike, can be used daily without any guilt. Caffeine-free formula, smooth, clean energy, ideal for caffeine-sensitive users and late-day use. It's also got all these other incredible compounds like citicoline, alpha GPC, GABA, supports mental clarity and focus. It appeals to both biohackers and holistic consumers, high quality electrolytes and B vitamins. More than a brain shot, true functional fuel, Optimal Human Nootropic Mind Fuel, that's the name of the product, isn't just another energy product. It's a smarter alternative for consumers who demand clarity, control, and clean performance without compromise. Get 25% off for life when you become a subscriber, canceling time for free. Get Mind Fuel now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you've never tried the original superfood greens, Optimal Human, you really want to get this as well. It's the best green food I've ever had at thealexjonesstore.com. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, all sorts of cool collectible knives and more. And that's what funds us, and that's what does this. And I really appreciate your support because I can't do it without you. So I want to commend and thank the listeners. But just like I steered you right on gold and silver 2.5 years ago, I got out of the market before that. I said, now's the time. I was totally right. Just like I steer you right on politics. These products are incredible. Get our Ultra Methylene Blue. It is the best in the market. Our Shilajit is the best. Our Irish Sea Moss is the best. Our turmeric is the strongest. Ultimate Turmeric. TheAlexJonesStore.com. You are missing out. You don't get it. I want to thank those that have supported. I want to challenge those that haven't. What are you waiting for?
Just what I needed for my morning jog.
Working 12 to 13 hours a day, Mind Fuel keeps me on my toes and in the action.
Try this energy shot for a boost like no other. Power your mind and body today.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I loved his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal, third hour, final lap of the show. Beautiful Monday morning. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. All right, a lot happening over here, and I'm going to spare you. I'm only going to give you some of the good stuff that's going on right now. And I told our team here, I said, hey, guys, look out in case Dan Bongino mentions anything about the Epstein files, and it appears he has. So let's take a listen.
There were a ton of problems with this. There was grand jury material. There was he put this out. He's anyone who rapes kids deserves the death penalty. Amen. Here's the problem with the Epstein mess. The FBI doesn't have the evidence many thought it did. I want to see the files, folks. I said, don't let it go. I meant it. We got elected. We looked at it. The file was not what was in there was not what we thought would be in there. There are not tapes with powerful men raping kids. There is not a list. Epstein's Rolodex was already public. The file's largely unreleasable for many reasons, including grand jury material, which they're moving to get a lot of that out. Court records under seal, child pornography that was downloaded from the internet. You can read the rest of it, protection of victims. We obviously don't want victims' names out there. Here's another one. Keep that up for a second. Double or triple hearsay. You're seeing it now. You're seeing on Twitter, like, this guy said Joey Bag of Donuts, you know, cut this woman with a razor or what, this young girl while raping her. And you're like, wow, that's a really horrible story. It's terrible. And then you find out Joey Bag of Donuts was whatever, some famous athlete who was playing a game in Phoenix that night. Like, a lot of this stuff was just people called, not all, by the way, not all of it. This is an extremely serious case. Let me be crystal clear. But that doesn't mean every single tip that came in, had any kind of veracity to it at all. A lot of the stuff was clearly debunked. He says, anyone believe Bondi, Patel, or Bongino would cover up for Bill Clinton or Bill Gates? Didn't even make sense. I was all over this case on my show. The Trump DOJ wanted to be fully transparent, but it couldn't at the time for the reasons above. It's not going to satisfy many, and that's fine. But folks, I'm not going to spend the next 2 years talking about it. This administration got you the information. You can all look at it. And a lot of people are using it to divide us from the inside. Those are just the facts. That's just the way it goes.
Yeah. So there's a lot to unpack there. First off, I do think Dan is being honest. I do think that Dan, when he says that, you know, there was nothing in there, when they were looking, I'm pretty sure there was a vast majority of things deleted, pulled out. Anything that they wouldn't want you to see, they're not going to put it in. They're not going to leave. They knew exactly what was going to happen. So, of course, these deep state operatives protect their own. And I don't think you're going to see a lot of the key issues. Of course, they have to leave in the Bill Gates stuff, some of it at least, because they can't let, they can't make it too obvious. But the reality of it is, you know, I do think Dan did his best job, but you're up against a lot. But I also don't think attacking people who criticize you is the best way to handle it. It's good to walk people through, and I'll explain it. Obviously, the rest of us are aware it was not a very easy process. There were these court battles going on, of course, and we knew it wasn't going to just be a one and done thing. But the Epstein files have been a massive, massive, massive debacle. All of that blame I put on the DOJ, truthfully. They handled it poorly. I don't know how else to describe. They handled it poorly, and I'm starting to think that it's intentional. By starting to think, I mean, I know when those social media influencers were brought to the White House and none of them knew what was happening, that they were used and they were told you can't talk about any of the stuff in here. That's why I released it before you guys saw it, because, well, I knew Pam Bondi was full of it. Obviously, one of those individuals that was there felt really angry when they realized, and they opened up the binders, that there was nothing in them and that Bondi had used them for a photo op. So again, I just want to keep hacking away at this. This is the key point. All right, let's start taking some calls. Let you weigh in. You guys personally, you guys weigh in on Dan Bongino, the clip we just played for you of him talking specifically about the Epstein files. I don't think it's all BS what he's saying. I know a lot of you are going to be very critical of it. I will say that I do think they could have done more. But I do think that over at the FBI, I know this was a top priority for Dan, and I've known this for quite some time. So I'll just throw that out there. All right, let's jump to some callers. Let's begin with, let's start things off with Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you for taking my call.
It's always a pleasure, Bill.
Brianna, You know, I thought I was going to get by on with this call without having to watch Bongino. I've never been a fan of Bongino. I don't like big talkers. And to me, just my personal opinion, he's always been a big talker. And then he had a chance to do his thing, quit, and then comes back and starts bullying people. Bullying is censorship. You know how much I love censorship. So the whole Bongino thing, you know, I put out some polls when people, oh, Bongino's coming back. I'll put a poll in the response. Are you going to be watching? It's like 66% no. But then they end up watching just because I think they want to see, but not a fan. Anyway, and you mentioned the social media influencer. Just a side note, not really what I called about. I'll get to that in a second. But if you look at the Loomer Fan Club bio, when you make your account, you have to choose, like, you know, are you in sales? I picked social media influencer. It's sarcasm. It's a joke. Nobody got it. It's a joke. Finally, Alex is talking about these, quote, social media influencers. You mm-hmm. just mentioned it. It's another crock. It's a crap. These people, don't even get me started, but I just wanted to say, sometimes I'm so funny, nobody even gets my joke. That's sarcasm, people. So the reason I called, and this is going to tie into the whole, and you know what? I'm on the same show as Liz Churchill. I'm a little jealous because I don't have a pop-up photo like she does. I'm going to have to send you a headshot so I can get a little pop-up photo like Liz. Maybe not. but your daily tweet that you put out, today is February 2nd, 2026, and not a single Democrat from the Obama-Biden regime has been arrested. You put that tweet out every day. Mm-hmm. About 2 weeks ago, I started retweeting it, quote tweeting it, because we're running out of time for your tweet to, like, change. You know what I mean? And now you add in this whole Epstein stuff. And I know your tweet doesn't talk about Obama, Biden, Epstein, but it's almost just by association that people are putting the Epstein stuff right in there. And basically, here's what I'm going to say today. Another thing I like to do is make predictions. My predictions come true. I predict nobody's going to be busted in the Obama Biden regime or this whole Epstein debacle.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I kind of want to be a little optimistic, Bill. And so I kind of, like, I feel like every day when I post that tweet up, I know it pisses off a lot of people who are in government, but that's the reason for that. But I feel like if we keep reminding them that we didn't vote for what's happening right now, we voted for actual change and actual accountability, that maybe this will actually result in something. I mean, we haven't forgotten. We haven't forgotten, Bill. And I want to thank you as always for calling in and sharing our content. We greatly appreciate it. But, you know, it's getting to the point that we're getting very, very close and I'm getting a little nervous. All right. Let's turn to another caller. Savage Dog, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
I'm blessed. I wanted to mention real quick about Nicki Minaj, but I think I'm not going to worry about that. It's not really a big deal. I do want to say that I did liquidate everything I had, and I invested in the wood chippers. Big shout out to JD DeLay. Get these pedophiles scared again. A couple things. I changed my mind by now. I want to spend more time with something that Liz said about we got to be very careful in prosecuting these scumbags. My pastor yesterday, you know, he reminded us that God did not give us the spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. Not in the Bible, but still, like, I think Shakespeare, I don't remember where it came from, but if God be for us, who can stand against us? If we don't worry about, you know, what power do these people actually have against us? What can they do? At worst, they can kill us. Okay. So then you send me home, you know. Put me in as the attorney general. I wouldn't care. You know, yeah. What are you going to do? Put a gun in my face? Good to go. You know, I got a knife at your sack. But God, I'm scattered again today. Okay. My main point though, what if, okay, what happened first was the Diddy trial. And everybody, and we've all forgotten about that. What would have happened if that had been prosecuted correctly and we had brought witnesses, even hostile witnesses, forth and gotten a list of, you know, it wasn't just Will Smith and, you know, celebrities and whatnot. Barack Obama, you know, we had big, significant targets in the Diddy case, and it was botched on purpose. That would have been a good bookend to this to say, if you had both of these, you know, the Epstein dump and the entire Diddy list, uh-huh, and real evidence of videotapes, because he did videotape everything, like Epstein did, but I guess that never happened. If we had both of those together, there's nothing that even Pam Bondi couldn't just pass out a 100-page binder full of redacted, you know, garbage. They would have had to do something. So yeah. I wonder, you know, well, you know, that they were only the Epstein or the Diddy thing was only prosecuted for a few things. I think there were some charges left on the table that they could still do, especially if anything between Epstein and Diddy, I keep calling Diddy, it's Sean Combs.
Yeah.
I'm not calling him by his little nickname. Play date name. if Sean Combs' lists coincide with the Epstein list clients and evidence, re-prosecute him with someone with some nutsack and knows what they're doing, and let's get some real names out there where they have no choice. You know, be strong, be bold. Fire Bondi, you know, Todd Blanche went out and he said some good things. Oh my God, Todd Blanche is a dude, shut up. I don't care. Todd Blanche is a douchebag. He's in on it. He goes out there and says bare minimum, bread and circus. Bondi, I don't know what she's doing. I haven't heard from her. I guess she's on some shows or something. And I reiterate, you can fire Pam Bondi, Mr. Trump, President Trump, and you can put in, come on, the first guy he wanted.
Matt Gaetz.
You could put him in for, what, 120 days and then another some 100 days? You could put him in long enough to go in there and wreak havoc. And I guarantee that boy ain't scared of nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he's not going to have a spirit of fear. He's going to have the spirit of God. He's going to have the Dave's Vault energy. For those who don't know, Dave's Vault is was a Knights Templar saying, God wills it, in the Crusades. Get that Dave's Vault energy in there, and let's go to work. I'm tired of this redaction, this, oh, look, we, you know, more bread and circus,
yeah,
has been my word for this administration since day one.
Yeah.
Oh, well, here's a couple thousand pardons for Jan 6. Look at me. I'm so great. I'm awesome. Oh, look, we're going to go, we're going to deport people. That, well, yay. Woo, yay. Deportations and, you know, necessary, and I'm glad he did it. You know, I'm not talking, yeah, against the pardons, but get some work done.
I know. That's the problem, though, Savage Dog. And thank you, as always, for calling. Because my dad tells me I'm a little too tough on Trump, but I would have to agree with you. I tend to think that he has not done enough, and we need to be angling more for that. So, as always, thank you for calling in, my friend. We appreciate it. All right, let's turn to Liberty. Liberty, welcome to the show.
Hey, Liberty, can you hear me okay?
Hi, yes, we can.
Okay. I just love you, Brianna. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liberty.
And what I want to, I'm like totally on fire for you and the other callers. This is bullshit. And Trump, if you're listening to this, and I hope to God you are, is that the people don't want J.D. Vance. They don't trust him, and they don't trust Marco Rubio, and they're no Trumpers. And you had Mark Mitchell on today, and I would love it if you would have him do a poll on Alex Jones for president and General Flynn for vice president. And then put up Janie Vance and Marco Rubio. And I think that the world is going to say, we don't want Janie Vance and Marco Rubio because they are not the quality of leaders. They're traitors. I don't care what anybody says. You know, nice guys aren't going to do the job. We don't need nice guys. We need guys that, like General Flynn and Alex Jones, that are no nonsense and that are going to get it done. And the last callers are so right. You know,
yeah.
Todd Blooms, why the hell is he still in office? Why is his lips still moving? And Susie Wiles, Netanyahu, and Pam Bondi, Pfizer. You know, she won't let Pfizer get touched because she's in bed with Pfizer. And she is in bed with Pfizer over the American people. And she can go to hell. She needs to be out of office. And the last caller, the 30 days, I don't care if it's, you know, 30 days or 15 days. Just get anybody in there that will make a decision and let things happen. And General Flynn knows how to do Pam Bondi's job. And if she can't do it, have her step aside.
Yeah.
And your dad is wrong. You aren't too tough. You're perfect. And we need to tell Trump, and I can't stand up. Listen to American News or whatever, and they have J.D. Vance, and he's just in front of Trump. Bullshit. I don't want him pushed. I want Trump in front of J.D. Vance. And, you know, like the silhouette, you know, the pictures, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, he's pushing J.D. Vance. But people don't want J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance is not going to lead. And Marco Rubio, yeah, maybe he's turned over a new leaf. Nobody trusts him. But Alex is bled for the American people. And General Flynn has bled for the American people. And that's what we need. We need fighters, not people that just look good in a suit.
I know.
Anyways, I'm not done with my rant.
No, Liberty, your rants are always welcome here. So we always appreciate you calling in. You're always so supportive. So we appreciate it. Yeah, I just texted Mark Mitchell and said, hey, we need like an Alex Jones for president poll. So I'll let you know if we have any, we have any movement on that one. But Liberty, as always, thank you for calling into the show. We appreciate you joining us. All right, let's turn to Donnie Darko. Welcome to the show. You there? Donnie. All right, no Donnie. Let's turn to John in Orlando. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brianna, John Stewart, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. This first time caller, so I'm a little nervous. I'm hearing everyone talk about, you know, everyone's starting to wake up to what everyone at InfoWars has known for a long time, that satanic, you know, elitists have been running the world, you know, and I just wanted to take this opportunity to offer an alternative. I sent you a message on X and you had liked it. I don't know if you had a chance to look into it, but Jada Frampton founded the Christian Nationalist Party out of the UK, but it's actually a global party. And I just would love for any of you guys to reach out and see if she's someone you guys would like to interview.
Perfect. No, I'll take a look at it. Did you DM it to me, John, or was it a tweet?
No, it wasn't a DM. I had replied to one of your posts and you had liked it.
Okay. If you want to flag it for me again, I would appreciate that. And we
Absolutely.
could see, but no, I appreciate it. And thank you for calling in. Happy first time calling into the show. Don't worry about being nervous too, folks. If you haven't called into the show before, there's no wrong. I mean, I butcher my words every day. There's nothing you could do when you call in, that would be something that you have to be nervous about, of course. John, thank you. And I appreciate you getting that on my radar. So thank you so much for that. I want to turn to Laura in Chicago. Laura, welcome.
Hey, Brianna. Hi, everybody. I can't afford Diet Coke. I started drinking Tab in like 1978, and I went to Walmart. It's like
$16-something for a case of Diet Coke. And it's like my first day without it. I'm drinking water. I'm losing my mind. I'm like so tempted to go through drive through and get 5 large Diet Cokes, no ice. But that's like $10 a day, and that's like $300 a month. And it's hit me. It just hit home. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm almost 60. It's my one joy, you know.
Well, can I suggest something to you, Hill? I'm getting the name brand for you. I stopped drinking soda a while ago. And if you're looking for something that's like not boring, like water, okay, this isn't an endorsement. I guess it is an endorsement, not a paid endorsement, so I should say. But Spindrift is actually my favorite. They have a really good blood orange flavored,
drink. Want the nasty Coke.
Yeah, I know. They do make some of them. I just don't know the chemicals in them, so I don't want to push it, but they do make some.
Chemicals anymore. That's cool. I got to tell you something. You know who I want to see for president? Cause I'm an Army veteran. I want to see Telsey, my Lieutenant Colonel, and General Flynn. Because these young people, they don't get it. I was in the Army during the Cold War in Germany before the wall came down, and then after. We would always go on alert. I was in Darmstadt. We'd pack up, you know, and go to, like, the Fulda Gap to wait for the Russians to cross the border. The Russians aren't the problem. They've never been the problem. And people think they want to live in communism. They don't. I've been to those countries. And after the wall came down, we actually were able to drive across into East Germany, former East Germany. It was so gray and polluted, and the people were in clothes from like the 1950s. People think they idolize it, but they've never seen it. They've never been to it. They've never lived in it. There's no utilities. Street signs were cement road blockers in the road. And I just, all the young people I know, we just got to ride it out. And you don't want that, because I see like 75 districts are Muslim now, and they want communism because they come from countries that don't have free speech. They come from countries where the government gives them everything, and they come here and they vote the same way. Like last night, they're passing out flyers in West Chicago here. They're all in Spanish for the county board, and that's what they do. They get in the town and they get political and they start voting Democrat, and they seep in, and there's nothing you can do. Once you let them in there, they're communists. At this point, there's no socialism. There's no Democratic Party. So everybody, as long as you're mad, don't be mad. Just go vote. You know, we got to maintain it. Even though you don't agree with Trump, you don't want what would come if you all voted. Don't punish it because you hate it. Right?
Yeah. No, you're spot on. No, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, you know, President Trump does have policies that lean our way, obviously. And so that's definitely a good push. And I'm watching as the city that I once loved so much, started my career, and I'm a New Yorker, has been completely destroyed.
You know, I went to college at Marymount Manhattan College, like in the 90s when I got out of Germany. His apartment building was on East 71st Street, close to Central Park. I walked by there. What a perv. Traffically, all those girls in there, you know. I know New York City, I left after World Trade in 2003, and it just breaks my heart. My heart is broken for New York. What I can do for pray for it. You know, sorry about your New York experience. It broke my heart too.
Yeah, no, it's really upsetting. I mean, obviously you're Chicago based, and so you've seen it firsthand. And so, yeah, it's really upsetting that this is what's going on in this country. And Laura, I want to thank you for calling into the program, and thank you for everyone else who has called. I know right now we don't have time to get to everyone else's calls, cause we're about to be up against a hard out, but, we will try our best during, you know, obviously tomorrow and other days during the week to get to your calls. But folks, it just really is sad when you sit back and you watch what's happened and you see these cities that are once beautiful cities get conquered by communism, especially Islamists as well. It is absolutely devastating, folks. I'll be back in this chair again, of course, tomorrow. We got a lot that we're working on for tomorrow's show. So you better be here 9 a.m. Eastern time when we kick things off in the American Journal. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have that new rolling sale going on right now. You never know what the savings are going to land. It is one of those incredible sales that's going on right now. And the actual discounts are kind of rotating right now. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That is thealexjonesstore.com. And check it out. All right, The Alex Jones Show starts next. Don't go anywhere.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And they've had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high-quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it. so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly. Four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last few days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it, these sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks. Okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. Nice little memento. You support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire of Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest fitting knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now at thealexjonesstore.com. While you're in it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexjonesstore.com.